Good morning. It's Sunday, October 17th, 2021. This is the monthly meeting of the KPFK Local Station Board. I'm the chair, Michael Novick, and the secretary, Janine Roan, will call the roll.
Thank you. Michael Adler?
Present.
Thank you. Ellen Beek?
You have to unmute, Ellen. You have to unmute, Ellen. We can't hear you. He's waving his hand, but...
We can see him. Why don't we say he's here and move on?
I can come back around for when he's not
needed. Yeah, go ahead. Continue,
Fred Blair.
Did you call Fred Blair?
I did.
Okay, I'm present.
Okay, thank you. Sandy Childs. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Thank you. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Thank you. Eric C. Jacobson.
Here.
Thank you. Avelia Jones.
Avelia Ashford, excuse absence.
Oh,
she's,
true.
Out of the state. I think she's in Jackson, Mississippi.
Thank you, Ali Lexa.
Here.
Thank you, Barbara Marbach. I believe I saw her on the call.
Yeah, she's just come back to her.
Okay. Rob Macon. Okay. Michael Novick is thank you. Robert Payne. Lydia Ponce.
She also requested an excused absence. She's
in
ceremony.
Thank you. I saw Barbara. Barbara, are you
present? Present.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
I am present.
Thank you. Paul Roberson.
Present.
Thank you, Janine Roan's present. That's me, Mansoor Sabah.
He requested an excuse.
Oh, true. He's working. Thank you. Oscar Yoa. Okay, we have a lot of numbers that aren't labeled, so I'll try to get to that. Polina Vasiliev.
She said she'd be getting on a little late. I saw an email from her. Also,
true.
Robert.
Okay.
Robert Payne also. Robert Payne also requested an excused absence in an email to me. So take note of that.
Okay. So Beth Von Guten.
Present.
Thank you. Reed Wasserman. I think
here. So. Present.
Thank you. Kiana Williams, we now have Myla Reisen. Reisen. Sorry.
Excuse me. Hello.
Don't we have to see her first?
Hello. Excuse me. I pronounced my last name Reason, like the word.
Okay. Thank you, Myla.
Sure.
So it is automatic. Kiana Williams sent us a resignation letter, and so Myla was the next person on the staff list from the previous election and takes the seat. But we do want to thank Kiana for her service on the LSB and to the station. And,
Janine, did you catch Sandy Childs saying here?
No, I didn't. Sandy? Unmute yourself, Sandy, if you're there. Yeah.
If she's on the phone, she has to unmute herself.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks, Sandy.
Yeah, I'm here. Bye.
Amy.
What about Ellen Beek?
We could see that he was talking and trying to say that he was here. So clearly he could understand that he was being...
Yeah, I've asked him to mute a couple of times. I also take note that the general manager, Mikel Calzada, expressed his regrets that he could not be with us. He did send a written report, and he's also recorded his report that will play at the appropriate time, but he won't be here physically or virtually, whatever the word is, to take questions.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Yes, Bella.
Miguel Calzada's audio was so low, it could barely be heard. I was wondering if...
All right, we'll worry about that when we get to it. Thank you.
Is it any different... Can I finish, please? Is it any different content than his written document report?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Excuse me, can I ask a question? I'm just wondering... why we don't use the function, the Zoom function of raising our hands to speak, is that...
Yes, we are supposed to do that. Thank you. Let's get into our agenda in a moment. Did we complete the roll taking? I never heard Alan Beek. I've asked him to unmute himself twice. I can see him, but he hasn't responded. I think we should consider him present, but...
Ellen, are you able to unmute star six?
No, he's on a computer. I can see his or a tablet or something.
If you press Alt and A at the same time, you'll unmute.
Normally, you can also unmute just by pressing your space bar if you're on a desktop or a laptop.
Hey, I just tried that, but it didn't work for me hitting the space bar.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can definitely, there is a control to mute and unmute on a laptop or a tablet, so we're going to move on because...
This is a listener sponsor, Margot. And on my little tiny flip
I'm
phone,
sorry. Excuse me, Margot, you're out of order. Margot, you are out of order. Please refrain from speaking.
Unmute, star six, okay?
Yeah, everybody knows that. He's not on a phone, he's on a computer. Thank you.
Point of information, Chair?
Yes.
On an Apple, you have to push Command, Shift, and A to mute and unmute.
Okay, so work. I hope Alan will try any of those mechanisms.
Chair, this is Lawrence. Just real quick. My keyboard is not working.
Okay.
I did not send my report to Janine. I'm able to send it to you and to Rocio as is custom. So if you could forward it to Janine, thank you.
All right, I'll check my email in a moment. So normally at this point, having taken the role, I believe we do have a quorum. The next thing on our agenda is the land back acknowledgement, and unfortunately, Lydia Bunting usually does that, is not able to be present. I'm not sure who has their sound open that is causing the echo, but...
Chair, I could do the land back.
All right, go ahead, Lawrence. Why don't you do that?
Relatives, we are here today. We are in the four directions, and the people of this land, the caretakers of this land, as we are as relatives, and we interact with this land, and I acknowledge the first contact people, the Taino Arakwa people that were highlighted in the show that was produced by KPFK on Indigenous Peoples Day. So with that, as Lydia would say, let's be good and better relatives.
Thank you, Lawrence. So I do want to follow up on that. I'm very concerned that some of the committee meetings have been very difficult and negative, and I want to make sure this meeting is not. So I want to talk about comportment again a little bit. Please use either the hand raise function on your phone or the hand raise function on your computer to request a stack. Don't call out, don't interrupt, and wait to be called on to speak. We are going to have two timekeepers today, one for the agenda item and one for each individual speaker. I want to try to limit speakers to 90 seconds each. If it's just general discussion, we'll wait to have a second comment until everybody who wants to make a first comment has spoken. And if it's a motion, we're going to work with two for and two opposed and then see if we need further discussion. But if we don't, we'll proceed to votes on those items. So please, someone wrote in the chat, stop the crosstalk and stop calling out. And we'll try to have a, you know, productive meeting today. So John Gary said he was willing to keep time for the agenda items, which we do have times in the agenda once we approve it. And I'm wondering if Rocio or somebody else is willing to keep time on individual comments, 90 seconds.
Yeah, I'll do the 90 seconds.
Thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda is approving the proposed agenda, which I did put into the chat if people were on the call at the time. It was sent out by the secretary. I'll read it for the stream. We have, after we approve the agenda, we'll read the Pacific Commission. We'll consider an excused absence request. We'll have an appeal for funds. We'll have an action after action report on previous motions, and then we're going to set our next meetings. There was a request from the general manager that the Sunday meetings are difficult or impossible for him, and could we meet on a week, a day, evening? So we'll be considering that. We have the general manager's report. Although he's not physically present, we'll be taking our first public comment. Item four on the agenda is PNB director's reports. Alphabetically from Ali Alexa, Lydia Ponce, who I think is not going to be present, Lawrence Reyes, and Beth Van Gunten. And then we'll talk about some of the PNB committees and take questions and answers with direct response from board members, followed by public comment number two with a direct response from the directors to any questions raised by members of the public. Item seven is the Treasurer and Finance Committee reports and discussion, and the state of the fall fund drive with reporting, state of reporting from NETA, and a discussion of our budget priorities for the coming fiscal year, which we've scheduled to have three months in a row now and have to get to. We have two motions from the governance committee regarding a revision to our membership policy on committees and regarding the LSBA KPFK email list. We have brief reports from the Program Oversight Committee, the Outreach Committee, the Fundraising Committee, and then we'll have our third public comment period and any new business. And the agenda is scheduled for about 163 minutes, which is close to 3 hours, so let's try to get it underway. Is there a motion to approve the proposed agenda?
Did we ever approve of the excused absences?
No, it's it's on the agenda, but it's after the Pacific Commission statement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thanks. All right, hearing no objection, we were going to ask Rob to do the Pacific Commission statement, but he's not on the meeting. Is there someone else who would like to read it?
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
I think Lawrence had actually volunteered to be the backup. Can you do that, Lawrence?
I could do it, but I'm having my laptop is acting. My keyboard is strange. I can't put certain letters in, so I can't search for it. So I will have to defer.
All right. Did you want to do that then, Bella?
Thank you. The Pacifica Mission Statement. To establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject to the operation of the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended. In radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors. To gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems and to the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. The Pacific Commission statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Next item on our agenda is consideration of the excused absence requests, if any, and there were several today. Lydia Ponce, Robert Payne, Mansour Sabah. Was there another one?
Avelia Jones.
Avelia Jones, that's right.
And Paul Roberson.
Oh, I thought I saw Paul on the call, didn't
Oh.
I don't know. Let me take a look back at the screen.
I'm here.
That's right.
I've been here since the very beginning.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry. So, yeah, Avelia Jones, Robert Payne, Lydia Ponce, and Mansour Sabah. I don't have the record of Robert.
Yeah, I'll forward it to you. He emailed me. He's involved in a fundraising project for someone in Kenya that he used to work with. And,
Chair,
yeah.
I'd like to move for the excused absences.
And yeah,
did you receive my report that you forwarded to Janine so she could forward it?
All right, thank you. Let me check my email. Any objections to the excused absence request? Okay, hearing none, those are approved. Paul, you were going to, I think, do the fundraising appeal?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So we are self-sustaining and supported and depending on the financial support of people like you. Just like the rest of the country, our station and network are having a rough time. I implore you, the listener, to donate and participate and make your voice heard with your time and money. KPFK is a progressive media outlet challenging corporate media practices, fighting against voices communities. Help keep KPFK a strong and independent source of music, arts, news, and information.
Thank you. I would like us to consider reviving the proposal for a matching fund from the LSB to use in the current fund drive on air, which is going on. So please consider that, and I'll be discussing it off the call with people to see if we can put together perhaps a $1,000 matching fund to use. I see hands up from Jan Goodman and Harvey Wasserman. Go ahead, Jan.
I'm sorry, I didn't take it down. It was just to approve the, excuse me.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Harvey, did you want to speak? You have to unmute yourself. If you do, you're on the phone. I don't know, maybe it was accidental.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Hello?
Yes, okay, we hear you.
There's a dog barking on him. Okay, so this is a heartfelt 90-second statement. I've been a donor to KPFK for a long time. I've continued my donations, but I find it hard to continue to donate. I will, but I find it hard to continue to donate when 60% of the KPFK listeners, including me, voted to change the bylaws and the structure of the organization. We have clearly a dysfunctional situation here. The station is having terrible fundraising problems. And in my point of view, a big part of it, is because the listenership voted to change the structure of the organization, and it did not change. We do not have, I don't know how you can expect an activist listenership like KPFK has to continue to support the organization after it voted 60% to change the bylaws. We cannot go to people of progressive nature and ask them to support a station that refuses to disclose its legal expenditures, suing New Day Pacifica, and at the same time ask them for money. I am in the position of donating to KCFK, which I'll continue to do, knowing that somewhere some of my money is going to sue New Day Pacifica. That is not sustainable. And if you are looking for a reason why the fundraising is plunging, you have to consider that 60% of our listeners voted to change the bylaws, and they have not been changed. So,
okay, thank you.
Also, thank you. There you go.
Okay, thanks. Next item on the agenda is the after-action report on prior motions and the strategic planning meeting. We did have several meetings while the IGM was here, and we launched a few projects, one of which was the idea of an appeal letter to a labor, and I believe that that's been finalized, and Lawrence Reyes will be sending that out. I think that the GM also is working on something similar with Margaret Prescott. I did not receive, the GM said he was going to send out the KPFK dispatch. I'm wondering if anybody else did receive that. If not, I guess it's still in the works. The other piece of what we came up with in the strategic planning meetings is that Janine Roan obtained software for doing phone banking, and we're in the process of trying to put together a script to call out to lapsed and current members of KPFK to discuss with them what we're doing right, what we can do better, and to consider donating to the station. Does anybody else want to add to that in terms of after action? We did have Janine met with, I believe, or talked with Terry Guy, the membership coordinator, and he's involved in that project and setting up the calling out process. So we'll be asking again for volunteers from the local station board, and we asked Terry to consider former volunteers in the phone room who would be knowledgeable and tactful in making such calls and interested in doing so. And I think he's working on that as well. So we'll be developing that project in this coming month as the fund drive also proceeds. Somebody has a dog barking in the background. Please mute yourself.
Michael, that was Harvey. I'm trying to mute him, but it keeps bouncing off. Here, I think it stayed. I wanted to let you know also, I believe Oscar Ulloa has joined the call. Oscar, are you on the call?
Yes, I saw him.
Okay. I just wanted to get him to stay present.
Sure. And then... Yeah, Oscar, can you unmute yourself and acknowledge your here? And I see a hand up from Myla Reeson.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I'm just wondering, I often find it difficult to catch every word of your speech when you're talking, Michael. And I'm wondering, Zoom has a closed caption option, and I don't see it on this call. And I'm wondering if maybe we could see about enabling that so that
sure, let me see if I can do that.
But anyway, that's my comment. Thank you.
I'll try to speak up as well. Thank you. I tend to be a soft voice person. And
if I can comment, Michael, quickly.
Yes, go ahead.
The option needs to be set. I would have needed to set it up beforehand unless someone is able to type, which I don't think that's what we've got going on here.
Right.
Chair.
Okay, we'll look into that for future meetings. Ali Lexa also has a hand up.
And me too, Chair.
Okay. Didn't see that. Ali.
I'll let Lawrence go first.
Okay. I neglected to mention Ali and Carrie Harrison are working on a project too that came out of that strategic.
Thank you, Ali. I just want to reiterate that what John P. Gary wrote in the chat that time has expired.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, quickly, Ali, did you want to say something further about the...
Yeah, just two quick comments. First of all, I did want to add that Carrie Harris and I have launched a webinar campaign, and we'll be rolling it out next week. We're going to have prominent speakers doing webinars that people can donate to attend, and we're going to be running those not just during the fund drive, but between the fund drives. And also regarding the appeal to workers, I applaud that the board is reaching out to support union and workers and laborers. And I encourage everyone listening and on this board to go to change.org and type in KPFK to get the details about the ongoing struggle for the staff at KPFK and hope that you'll consider supporting the staff and workers at the station. We have a petition up for former general managers have signed it, Margaret Prescott, Jim Lafferty, Jackson Brown, over 800 staff listeners and supporters. So if you feel like it and you want to support the staff and workers at KPFK, as well as the other struggles that we hear going on with IATSE and other workers, it's change.org and just type in KPFK. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next up on the agenda is the GM report.
Real quick. The appeal letter to organized labor is for organized labor to support the station. IATSE is part of the appeal. The County Fed, which is the County Federation of Labor, is also part of the appeal. My local is also the part of the appeal. So I just want to reiterate that there's no competition, and I understand the struggles that the staff is going through with the collective bargaining that's going on right now. But this is separate from Ali's effort. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, right, I hope you'll join and support us, Lawrence.
Yes, thanks. All right, so I'm going to try to play the GM report, and hopefully it will be loud enough for people to hear. If not, we'll have someone read it.
Michael, didn't you say that he also submitted an audio clip of his report?
Can people hear this? It's playing now.
It's not audible.
All right. We'll just have to read it then. Hang on a second.
Michael, I can try to play it
okay.
If you want, because that might be a difference.
All right. Go ahead. Sure.
I just need a moment. While she's doing that, when are we supposed to talk about the next meeting? I thought it was before the GM report.
Yes, that's true. Although the thing about that is that he's asking for the meeting to be earlier as well. It's in his report. But
earlier than 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. My first day as the new GM at KPFK was September 15, 2021. During this first month of my tenure, I received 803 emails, 803, from staff and paid staff, programmers, volunteers, directors of the LSB, member of several LSB committees, directors of the PNB, former members of the boards, long-time listeners, contractors, and vendors. I can say that at least a half of those emails are simply put noise, interference, in most cases, toxic interference. My first point in this report is asking you to please refrain from using this magnificent tool that is email lists. It doesn't benefit anyone, nor the person is sending it, not the people caught in that list that don't need to know and don't want to know the resentment embedded in those messages. It is as easy as thinking, what is the use of the email I'm going to send? Does it entail a specific action to be made?
I'm sorry, what happened?
Sorry.
Programmers, volunteers, directors of the LSB, member of several LSB committees, directors of the PNB, former members of the boards, long-time listeners, contractors, and vendors. I can say that at least a half of those emails are simply good noise, interference, in most cases, toxic interference. My first point in this report is asking you to please refrain from using this magnificent tool that is email lists. It doesn't benefit anyone, nor the person is sending it, not the people caught in that list that don't need to know and don't want to know the resentment embedded in those messages. It is as easy as thinking, what is the use of the email I'm going to send? Does it entail a specific action to be made by the recipient? If the answer is no, please don't send it. Get up, take a walk for a couple of minutes, and resume the task you were doing. This introduction is to make you aware that nobody can do a job if it's constantly interrupted. You can say, well, you don't have to answer all your emails. You don't have to read all the ones from folks if you already know what they're going to say. Actually, someone sent me this email yesterday. The fact of the matter is that if you want to do the job you've been hired for, you have to read them all and answer them. If I don't read them, I don't know what they want from me. During this month, I configured a better picture of the situation at KPFK and Pacifica at large. I guess I only know a fraction of it, but sufficient enough to move ahead. Yes, I've had to hit the ground running. I don't complain. I want to talk about three critical topics briefly: financials, programming, and governance. It is useless that I describe here the diagnosis of the situation. Civica Foundation and KPFK have a solid army of people mastering diagnosis. The bottom line is, besides plans, programs, new strategies, what do we accomplish tangibly every day? What do we do at the end of the day to overcome the situation? If we do the same we've been doing, we will get the same results. Hence, we will no longer be able to sustain the station. On the governance turf, Pacifica has done the same she has been doing for years, overruling the responsible of the station, me as a GM, laying off another non-union staff. I have no doubt outsourcing the financial department will positively impact the long run. Yet, the way it was conducted was irresponsible because that puts you, as the LSB, in a very odd situation, not to mention myself. But moving ahead, my goal is primarily to act, and maybe we'll have time to plan later. But now, if we see something, we have to do something, not just say something, do something, and have to solve it. Let's start with financials. With a former business manager, I reviewed the monthly account payable. From this review with him, now with people from NETA, it is clear, precise, pristine. There are some dysfunctions. This month, we've started to move forward to spare, to save, to shave money from current vendors. Basically, I'm talking about telecommunications providers, meaning telephone services, internet, etc. You know it. We've taken the first steps to significantly reduce bills, sometimes getting rid of the vendor straightforwardly. And we've talked to other vendors to review their statements and sometimes get rational explanations or amending their bills. In this report, I'm not going to talk about HR, but let me say that I'm looking forward to PNB's decision on the best last final offer to CBA, to the collective bargaining agreement. Also, I would like you to know that besides the business manager, one of our board top operators resigned yesterday. The financial goal for KPFK and from my standpoint would be to balance our fiscal year 2022 budget against our lowest income expectations. But doing so without taking into account programming would be foolish, would be also useless, because everything remains the same. Programming has to be remodeled, revamped. Implementing new programming has to be done cautiously. And once done, be patient and be aware of fine-tuning some of the changes. Yet programming isn't something that creates listeners / members overnight. We need some time. We need stability to regain trust among our listeners. I believe we've done lots of things adversely. Think about programming as a field. You can plan whatever seeds you want, but you have to take care of this field. You have to rain it, pull up the weeds, and harvest the field if the season has been good. But you cannot constantly reap, because every time you do, you are exhausting the crop. And here we are now, with a depleted crop. Nevertheless, we've already started to move in the right direction by giving farmers some guidance and streamlining the grid. We need to air this field, so we need to gain time and not to be desperate every single payroll. Therefore, I don't know how, but some subsidies will have to come while we walk, run, in the right direction. Regarding revenues, we've started to work toward regaining the CSG grant from the CPB. If we succeed, the grant would be for fiscal year 2023. That means, meanwhile, any support from this board trying to get any grant, any contribution, any gift, legacy from large donors or small donors, etc., will be much appreciated. And I am personally committed to work along with these efforts. Finally, regarding governance, let me tell you that although I appreciate the different committees from KPFK LSB, it is really complicated for me to attend all. I spoke with the chair about the possibility of scheduling this monthly meeting of the local station board on weekdays, preferably before 5 p.m. I would appreciate it if you support this initiative. As always, feel free to send me all you think may help the station. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So obviously we can't really question the GM on that report because he's not present, but I do want to say that he did come to the Finance Committee meeting this month, and you know, he's not expected to attend obviously every single meeting. We invited him to program oversight because there is no program director currently. I'm not sure if he'll be able to do that. I believe that's tomorrow. Is that right, Beth? I see a couple of hands up, Lauren.
Michael, yeah. Janine, quickly, Paulina has joined the call. Paulina, are you present?
Yes.
Yes, Rob Macon came on also.
Rob, can you unmute?
So we'll come back to him.
Okay.
So I see three hands up from Lawrence, Bella, and Myla. Lawrence, go ahead.
Bella and Myla were before me, Chair.
Okay. All right. Bella, Myla, and then Lawrence. I couldn't look at the screen. Go ahead, Bella. You have to unmute yourself. Bella, you need to unmute yourself if you wish to speak, or was your hand just up accidentally?
Oh, okay. Here we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to address the area of the GM's issue regarding the dismissal of the business manager, Barry Brooks. The reason why this is was alarming to me and others is that although we have not received the necessary monthly reports we have requested for years, this has become a very difficult, untenable situation. But what that has done is has shifted the responsibility of our local reporting to an outsourced organization known as NETA. And this organization has done nothing to assure that we would be receiving these necessary monthly reports. And when I was on the audit committee, I was privy to speak to them directly, and they did not appreciate this. So now we have a motion requesting that they do meet that request at least prior to our monthly meetings.
Okay, Bella, I'm going to ask you to stop there. We're almost out of time in this item, and we have to deal with the question of our LSB meetings. So
yes.
I want to try to keep to the agenda, and there's time for other comments later, but we only gave 15 okay. minutes for this report, and we've used it up. So thanks for your comments, but we're going to hear quickly from Myla and Lawrence, and we're going to discuss the question of moving the LSB meetings to Wednesday, and if so, at what time. Myla, quickly.
Yeah, thank you. Just quickly, I'm wondering, since the GM is not available for Q&A, whether we might be able to submit questions as a board. And I, for one, would like some more detailed, specific numbers in the report, and a little bit more emphasis on facts and figures. And I'm sorry that he's sure. so terribly frustrated, but we could really use some solid reporting from him. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And we will have more figures when we get to the Treasury report, too. So that's coming up. Lawrence, quickly.
Thank you. So I think what I find glaring that was that there was no report on the current fund drive. I also, I will definitely have a problem with meeting at 5 o'clock during the week. So I think, you know, there needs to be a middle ground somewhere. And I don't think that's the middle ground for me. I know I will have difficulty because of work and other commitments. Thank you.
So let's move on to that. The proposal from the governance committee was to change to, we had two options, Wednesdays or Fridays, the third Wednesday, the third Friday, but we proposed 6 p.m. I don't think it's possible to really do it earlier than that. We want to be accessible to the public, and many people work till 5 and need to get to it. You know, a phone or a computer to even get on the call. So, you know, I think adjusting it from Sunday to a weekday is a, you know, attempting to accommodate the GM as much as possible. but I don't think we can start as early as 5 p.m. or even prior to 5, which is what was asked for. But any discussion on this question? Ali and Beth, I see hands up in my leg. And Ali?
Yeah, I'm actually want to agree with the comments Lawrence just made. Starting before 5 o'clock is going to be quite a challenge to many of us on a weekday. And just also to reiterate his point that it is glaring that there is no report on the current fund drive and what we just received. Hopefully the treasurer might have some comments in this report. Thank you.
Yeah. I have Beth, Bella, and Mile again. Beth, you have to unmute yourself. We'll come back to her.
I'm not muted on my end.
Okay. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Speak.
Thank you.
Beth, go ahead. We hear you.
Thank you. I'm getting a lot of feedback from somebody. Somebody has an open line.
I believe it was Alan Beek, but he's muted now.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I want to agree with pretty much everyone who's spoken about 5 o'clock being too early. I have no problem with moving to a weekday evening if we can find one that's amenable. I would move to meet on the third Wednesday of every month. And please try to reserve our weekends for.
Yeah, at what time, Beth?
Real life.
As I said, the proposal from the governance was Wednesdays at 6 or Fridays at 6. I think Wednesdays is probably preferable. Is there any objection to changing our meetings going forward? This will be for the next 2 months because then there will be a new board seated and they can consider the next calendar year. So this would be Wednesday, November 17th, and Wednesday, December 15th at 6 p.m.
I second Beth's motion, Chair.
Can I get some clarification? So Friday is out now because Friday is really bad for me.
Yeah, I think Friday. Michael, we wanted to offer people an option, but I think Wednesday is it. So is there any objection to?
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's Janine. I just wanted to offer up putting the calendar up on the Zoom so that people can see KPFTX.
The host will be informed that you would like to
speak. If you want to do that, you can share your screen with it. I don't know.
Yeah, you have a stack.
I understand that. I see Jan and Bella and then Fred Blair.
And Paulina would like to be on the stack as well, please.
Okay, try to use the hand function on.
I'm sorry, I'm driving. I can't. But
okay, all right, gotcha. All right, Jan?
Yes, I would second the motion to have the meeting on Wednesday and to and maybe you can and eliminate the Friday option.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would also I would also like to add to the motion that we end the meeting no later than 10:30 p.m. on Wednesday.
Okay, I think if we start at 6, we're going to. Yes, if we start at 6, it's going to be 6 to 9. It's 3 hours tops. Are there any objections to meeting on Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the next 2 months, November 17th at 6 to 9 p.m.?
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Okay, go ahead, Bella.
What you are trying to do without allowing each member to speak up on an alternate date, you're changing the motion. And you cannot do that. We also have Friday. And if you look at the calendar that the secretary shared, Fridays are completely open, no conflicts from the PMB or other committees. So we are also supposed to be considering Friday. Also, I wanted to mention, it would not interfere with us getting the necessary reports from NETA for the Finance Committee. And this is why Friday is a viable day for us to consider. So I appreciate if you leave that open for the membership to consider. Thank you.
Okay, I already heard an objection to Friday. I was asking if there are any objections to Wednesday.
Oh, this is Paulina. Not that I object. It shouldn't be because of
one
person.
I object to Wednesday.
Fred objects. Fred objects also.
Paulina objects as well.
Yeah. All right. I heard the objections. Paulina, go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say that I wouldn't be able to make it on Wednesdays at all. I work until 9:30, so okay. all Wednesday afternoon. So if it's only for 2 months, you'll feel free to do it without me, but I would obviously prefer Friday.
Okay, I heard multiple objections to Wednesday then. Fred, you have the floor?
Yes, at the Finance Committee last Wednesday, we moved the Finance Committee date from November 10th to November 17th. Now, this would put the Finance Committee the same day as the meeting of the LSB, which is just too much. So we'd have to move the Finance Committee back 1 week so it doesn't interfere with the LSB meeting. That's the basic point I wanted to make.
Yeah. And, yeah, thank you. I think the most was actually... the motion of the Finance Committee was the Wednesday before the LSB meeting. It didn't specify the date. But in any case, I heard multiple objections to Wednesday from a lot of people. I only heard one objection to Friday.
Jan Goodman, I object to Friday.
All right, we're going to have to take a vote then.
Can we also talk about which particular Wednesday? Because there are Wednesdays that the Finance Committee doesn't meet. And Janine... thank you for putting up the KPFTX, but I can't read it. It's too small on my computer. Is there any way you can enlarge it?
Get your own.
Okay, I'm sorry. We need to proceed with our business, and I don't want to spend any more time in this than we have to. We have a lot of business ahead of us. So I'm going to ask for a vote, and people are going to vote for the third Wednesday or the third Friday for the next 2 months. And we'll see which gets the most votes, and we'll live with it. So, Janine, can you call the roll and what the vote will be?
Chair, can you put some of the hands down or ask for the hands to go down?
Yeah, I'll lower the hands. Thank you. All right, so I'm asking Janine to call the roll on the question of the next two meetings. This is for November and December. After that, there'll be a new board seated, and they'll decide what to do for the coming year. We're just talking about two meetings. And the question is, the third Wednesday at 6 p.m. or the third Friday at 6 p.m.? Just state your choice as Janine calls the roll.
I'm sorry, Michael. Can I just ask a quick question? If we do change to one of these two dates, are we assured that the GM will be able to join us on those either of those evenings? Because if not, then we should just keep the meeting on Sunday. So I'd like some clarification on that.
Well, he's not here to speak for himself. You know, he expressed his preference in the call, but we're trying to accommodate him with a weeknight, and that's what we're, you know, that's where it stands.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm starting with Michael Adler.
Wednesday.
Thank you. Alan Beek.
Alan, you're muted. You have to unmute yourself either on the phone or on the computer.
Star 6, tell him how to do it, please.
He tried it on the phone and it still didn't come through.
Okay, I'll move on to Fred Blair.
I'm passing.
Okay, Sandy Childs.
Neither one of them. Keep it Sunday.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto.
Friday.
Thank you. Jan Goodman.
Wednesday, please.
Thank you. Eric C. Jacobson.
Pass.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
Wednesday.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach.
Wednesday.
Thank you. Rob Macon. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't have him.
He's not muted. Rob, you have to speak up. He's on the second screen. I don't know what to say.
All right.
Go ahead.
And then we have Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
Friday.
Thank you. Paul Roberson.
Yes.
Thank you. Janine Roan is a Friday for the same reasons Bella cited, is the reports would be ready. Oscar Ulloa. He actually, I believe, had wanted an excused absence and tried to get on. I just wanted to.
Oh, he's on. He's just muted, Janine. He's on.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Well, he fell off once and came back, and I don't think I see him currently, but oh, there he is. Yeah. Oscar, you have to unmute yourself.
Hello.
Hey, Rob. Yes, we're voting on whether. We're voting on moving the meeting to Wednesday or Friday.
Yeah, I'm open on both days. I'm open on both days, so I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Okay. And Oscar is still off the call, so Paulina Vasilius.
No, he's on the call, but he's not. He's muted, and he doesn't seem to unmute. Continue.
Okay. Paulina Vasilius.
Friday.
Thank you. Beth von Gutten.
Wednesday, but I'll live with whichever it is.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman. Not sure he's still on. Myla Reeson.
Wednesday.
Thank you. So I'm going back to see if Alan Beek. Can respond, Alan?
Alan, can you unmute your computer? Because we can't hear you on the phone and we can't hear you on the computer. You have to unmute. There should be a little button to click that says mute and unmute.
Okay.
Okay, Alan, put up one finger for Wednesday and two fingers for Friday. Put your hand up. Put your hand up by next to your ear, Alan. We cannot hear you. Alan, put your hand by your ear. Your left hand by your left ear. That's Wednesday. Is that correct? Wednesday or Friday. Either one is good for Alan. Pick one. All right. Go on.
What would you like me to mark for him?
Friday.
I'm going to leave it blank then, if it's neither, or if it's either. So Sandy Childs with a pass, or no, she said neither. And so now we go to Eric Jacobson.
Okay.
Am I right?
I'll abstain.
Okay, abstain.
Paul Roberson put Friday in the chat.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I'm getting a little out of order there. Rob Macon, do we have?
He said he can do either.
So, okay, yeah. We're skipping him. Lawrence?
I'm going to go to Friday. I'm hoping that the GM could carve out time, just like we all do here.
Okay. And Paul Roberson, I'm sorry, because I was out of order in my record keeping. Can you give
Friday.
Me Friday? Thank you. And then we have Oscar, whether he's able to respond.
Yeah, I said Friday. I prefer Sunday, but if I have to vote, Friday.
Okay. Thank you. Cool. Is Oscar able to respond?
I don't know, but I see that Alan is unmuted now on his computer. Maybe he can speak.
Mm.
Wasserman fell off and he's trying to get back on.
You are unmuted.
Hi, Alan. Do you prefer Wednesday or Friday? Hi, Alan. I can see you're not muted. So can you let us know Wednesday or Friday, please? Which is best?
I'm Marshall. Either one.
Okay, so I will leave him blank. Or and so then we've got...
You didn't call on Fred Blair kind of again.
Janine, can I change my vote?
Yeah.
It's Sandy. Can I change my vote?
Sure.
I vote for Wednesday, and then I have a question after the vote.
Okay, Fred Blair, are you voting?
Yes, Friday.
Thank you. And so we have...
I'm here. This is Harvey. I vote for Wednesday.
Okay.
Hello?
So I believe,
yes, we heard you.
We heard you. Thank you, Harvey. So Oscar is not on the call. And I think that's the only person besides Michael. So we have, my records are 8 for Wednesday and 7 for Friday.
We couldn't hear you.
How many for Friday?
Barking. Can you repeat that?
8 for Wednesday, 7 for Friday, but the chair has not voted.
Chair is voting for Friday.
Excuse me, this is Harvey. What time are you planning to do this on Friday?
6 p.m., 6 to 9.
You can't do that. That's Shabbos. That's a religious contradiction there. You want to do it, go ahead, but I won't participate.
We have a time,
Michael. I hate you.
Won't participate.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Can we offer Thursday?
May I have the floor, Chair? This is Lawrence.
But today is the Sabbath for Christmas, so I mean, come on out.
Chair, may I have the floor?
Yes, you're recognized, Lawrence.
Thank you. So noting that it's a very sacred religious holiday. On the third Wednesday of the month, the 17th, which I understand, being from Brooklyn, I celebrated that holiday. I moved that for November. We meet on the fourth Wednesday. Forget it. I have a governance committee on the fourth Wednesday. So.
He also misunderstood. He's referring to Fridays, not to Wednesday.
Right, but I'm just trying to.
We are meeting.
Be hypersensitive about the religious.
We need Friday. We need Friday.
Bella, please do not call out.
Janine to the staff.
Go ahead, Janine.
Could we make it the 26th, which is the day after Thanksgiving?
No.
No?
Jeff has a hand up.
Jeff. No.
No.
Yeah. Okay, I heard a lot of those. Beth, you have your hand up. Do you want to speak?
Yes, I do. There was a suggestion that we consider Thursdays. It was pointed out in the governance committee that that's the day that the PMB meets more often than not, and that all of Pacifica is advised not to schedule things that would conflict with that. And as much as I object to having chunks taken out of my weekend, I especially object to having chunks taken out of a holiday weekend, like that in the middle. It's just disrespectful of people's personal lives. Thank you.
Michael, it's Sandy.
Yes.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Why are we accommodating the new GM when he says he can't be there after 5 anyway? Why are we changing the meeting when he says he can't be there?
He didn't say he can't be there after 5. He said...
I'm sorry, what? Did somebody
I said they did not consider that for Aniel. I said, say that. I agree with what you said, but then I'll repeat it.
Good point.
Nobody accommodated. Nobody ever accommodated on Yell.
Yell never made a request to change the date or time.
He couldn't make it often.
Yes, okay. We're trying to find the time that the general manager can make it.
You find that.
So, Paul, to the stack.
Go ahead, Paul.
So with that said, I think it might be appropriate to make sure and assure that the GM will be present, as opposed to changing the schedule to accommodate him, not knowing if he will be available.
Agree.
All right, we're going to move on and leave this in suspense then, and we'll work out something separately. We can't waste any more time on this. We have a stalemate in terms of what time people prefer and what date. I'll check back with the GM and see what we come up with. We're only talking about 2 meetings, 2 months. Let's move on. Next, the
are we tabling this until further notice?
Yes.
Okay, for the record, this is being
tabled. For the record, it's tabled, and we'll consult with the GM. Thank you.
Chair, I'd like to amend that to postpone. This way we can set a time certain where you could communicate with the GM.
Yes, I'll communicate with the GM as soon as the call is over. I don't want to deal with this any further. Please, let's move on.
Okay, I'm just suggesting
we'll take it off the table when we have some information. That's all. The next thing on the agenda is public comment number one.
I'm Ruth Strauss to the stack.
Go ahead, Ruth. Other people can raise their hand with their phone or I see also
Michael.
Oh, I'm
sorry. I can get back in line and raise my
hand. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
This was just a quick idea, which may not be a good idea, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. I don't know whether there are any volunteers, but, you know, somebody could hopefully go through the manager's emails if he feels compelled to answer them. If somebody could go, a volunteer, go through the emails and group them so that, you know, some of them that have the same subject, then a group email could be generated instead of answering each one. But it may not be possible for him to answer even in that way. Thank you.
Thanks.
This is Alan Beek, and I volunteer.
Thank you, Alan. All right. I appreciate that. We'll consult with him about what he wants to do about that. His main point was about the content of the emails, which he said was toxic. It's not about the number per se. And I agree with that, and it's coming up later on the agenda. Next person on the stack is Michael Heiss, and then Kim Kaufman.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I just have a quick question as I need to leave for something that's come up unexpectedly. Will there be minutes of this posted somewhere, and if so, where?
Yes, eventually the secretary did circulate to the LSB draft minutes. We're probably not going to work on approving them at this meeting, but eventually we will get the minutes posted to KPFDX.
Of this meeting?
Yes, of this meeting eventually will be posted. After they're approved at our next meeting, they'll be posted to KPFDX.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I had Kim and then Raymond.
Hi, this is Kim Kaufman. Funny you should bring up the minutes, because that's what I want to speak about. And I want to point out that since Janine has been secretary, she has presented no minutes to the LSB for almost 2 years. Approval of minutes are no longer even on the agenda. That means there are no approved minutes for almost 2 years. There are no attendance records, therefore no alternates have been seated formally and legally. None of the motions that have been argued and voted on have any effect or legitimacy for almost 2 years. Without approved minutes, this committee has no validity. Everything you do is null and void without approved minutes. Minutes are required in two places in Pacifica's bylaws. This meeting, this committee, is just a coffee clutch to hear yourselves talk with no coffee. This is on you, Michael Novick, for 2 years of not having any minutes or approved minutes. You need to fix this. Or not. Just be illegitimate.
Yes, thank you. As I said, the secretary did send members of the LSB a link to the minutes in the Google Doc set of files that's in draft form.
You have 2 years of minutes.
Okay, I'm only I haven't had a chance to look at what's in the Google file. I was not the chair of the LSB last year, so well, I'm responsible for this year. I'm trying to make it happen.
Okay.
And we will, try to get it done. I appreciate your input. Raymond?
Thank you very much. Upon reviewing the Pacifica Network website, I see that there are bylaws notice period, and it says Sunday, October 10th through Tuesday, November the 9th. Since I object to some of those proposals, I thought I would bring to the attention of LSB that there has been no notice that I have heard or about which I have been informed up to now, which is well past Sunday, October the 10th. So those would not be appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that Lawrence might be addressing that as the director of the report. I think he had a motion to the PMB to change the dates so that they can be properly noticed, but he can speak to that later. Janine wanted to speak to the question of the minutes, I think.
Hi, thank you, Michael. Well, I certainly am aware of the delay in getting the minutes to the LSC, as well as, following through and getting them adjusted and approved. But I will say that there have been minutes accepted from 2020, but they were never approved. So they that's one thing. The other thing is, for those of you following, at the beginning of this year, I basically said that I wasn't in a position to do the job that I felt was needed as secretary. I do feel like I have better footing. I have gotten a transcription software, but I just want you to know that Zoom meetings, as far as the secretary, here we are coming up on an hour and a half into this meeting, and I haven't even started taking notes on the minutes because I've been letting people in. I've been texting. I've been renaming. So it's just a very different experience, but I still am trying my best. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew Weiss has a hand up. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, greetings, all. I listened to the archive of the Finance Committee meeting with our new GM reporting and all the other stuff going on, and I came to really appreciate more just what's going on with our station and all the work that everybody is doing, the difficult work that is going on. We're under a lot of pressure all. I appreciate you all, and I ask everybody to keep that in mind. We're trying to do something here that is very challenging, community governed public radio, and so we need to consider that we've got a tough challenge, and I think try and work together as much as possible. I'd like to report on the Pacific Listener Forum. We're holding twice right now monthly open forums where everybody can openly discuss what's going on in a civilized, fair way. And the last two forums are one of our management staff, Stuart Landau, attended, and he's there taking calls, giving reports, discussing things. So I encourage everybody to attend, and you can interact with folks like that. As well, it's a chance where we can be civil with each other, be on a level playing field, and get to know each other, and move beyond some of our differences and be creative in what we do in our discussions and talk about just about anything we want. We also have social time. We went for 5 hours yesterday. That shows you how.
Thank you. That's your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Is there any additional public comments at this time? Okay, hearing that, I don't see any other hands.
Mr. Chair, can somebody read Jara Handala's post on the chat? I can read it if you like.
Okay, yeah, I see that. Hara Handel says, public comment, please read out as I lack augmentative comms I need regarding the four of the proposed bylaws amendments posted at Pacifica.org on either October 11th or 12th. I'd like to make 2 points. Very hard to scroll through this. Hang on a second.
I can read it, Michael, if you want.
Go ahead.
None of the names of the six or more directors who propose them are listed with the amendments. And two, those for extending the director's term of office and the frequency of member petition amendments each requires a referendum. Do you understand that? Did you understand that?
Yes, the amendment for extending the director term of office and the frequency of member petition amendments, he says, requires a referendum because it affects members' rights.
Yes, but also who put up the other amendments? They're supposed to have six directors who propose them, and that's blank on the amendments. That needs to be there. They didn't just appear. From fairies.
Okay, thank you. So we are at time for public comment, and we're going to move on, and maybe some of that can be addressed in the rest of the reports, which are coming up now. So we were asking them to be alphabetically. Ali Alexa, did you have any report to make?
I'd like to give my report after Beth von Gutens, if that's possible.
Okay. Lydia Ponce is not here. Lawrence Reyes, did you want to give an oral report? I know we did send around your written one, but...
Hold on, Jeff. Sure. What am I doing with this thing? Okay. So my report was... submitted in regards to the directors that signed on to the bylaws amendment. There were six directors that signed on to it. I was one of the directors. I don't know why it's not posted on KPFTX in regards to that. That's the secretary, Paulina Vasilia, is in the meeting, so maybe she could respond to that. But I put my director's report in an email from my other laptop because my current laptop is its keyboard is not being able to type out certain letters. But I have attached a legal counsel report in regards to the lawsuit in regards to the New Day Pacifica matter. There was a motion. That was a motion for change of venue that was denied. I guess I could say that Pacifica prevailed in that. In regards to the elections situation, I'd like to yield, if Janine has a quick synopsis, if that's okay with you, Chair. I know it's a little bit out of the box. If I could share 1 minute, with that, but I do want to read the following. I want to read that I believe there are secret caucus meetings of a majority of the PNB directors acting against the best interests of KPFK with the imposition of decisions which disenfranchises the efforts of the KPFK local station boards. Efforts to address our immediate concerns with imposing a national plan where there is none in place for the national boards or committees tasked to develop such immediate planning. I will report on behalf of the committees that I'm involved in. The PNB Governance Committee is going to meet next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m., 8:30 Eastern Time. And now I'd like to attach his Pacifica Council Arthur Schwartz report on the New Day matter. Now I'd like to yield a minute of my time to Janine, if that's okay, Chair.
Okay, this is concerning the PNB election committee?
Yes.
Janine, did you want to speak?
Hi. I hope to be able to. We're going to be meeting. The elections committee is going to be meeting again this coming up Thursday, and our goal now is sort of to create as complete a record as possible. You know, we've reported before that there's ballots that haven't been received even by governing members. There's carts that haven't been played. There's carts that have been edited by a third party, not by the candidates. And even after bringing that issue to the PNB, it wasn't remedied. So those carts continued to play at half the length that the candidate recorded them. There's been two motions to extend the election that have been passed. And so there has been two things moving forward, possibly a survey of our membership, entire membership of Pacifica, to find out who actually received their ballots and what issues have gone on, you know, people have experienced during the election. As well as on Thursday, I believe that we're going to be asking the PNB to hold off on the results until we can find out some of these matters, until we can possibly find out and get a report of how many people received their ballots. So anyway,
okay. That's it.
I hope to have it written up.
Yeah, we're at time for this report. There'll be time for discussion after. Beth, did you want to go? And then Ali.
Sure, thanks. One moment. Pacifica is reaching the financial limit of its ability to proceed with business as usual and is approaching an inflection point. In the long, strong Pacifica tradition, those of our eight units in more robust condition financially have been prevailed upon yet again to lend a hand to those units currently under greater financial stress. At this point, those sources have been effectively all but exhausted. A day of reckoning looms. Fortunately, managerially, we have turned a corner. After an extended period of a serious dearth of leadership at KPFK, Miguel Calzada has stepped forward to take the helm as our new general manager. While no one person can be expected to shoulder the burden alone, the presence of someone prepared to orchestrate our many mutual efforts can make a significant difference. It's been a long wait. We're fortunate finally to have him with us. In another step forward, KPFK Financial Services have now been moved to and consolidated under NEDA, the National Education Telecommunications Association, reducing those costs by two-thirds, a substantial reduction in excess expenditures, and a move to further regulate our business practices. Pacifica National Finance Committee met in special session this month explicitly to deal with the KPFK financial crisis, in addition to its twice monthly regular meetings. We ratified the hard work so many have put into identifying and reining in the worst of our long-standing excess expenditures, finally approving an fiscal year 21 budget, at least in name, though its greater functional value will be as a guidance document in preparing a more realistic prospective fiscal year 22 budget. Work on that process continues. Given our current precarious financial predicament, Pacifica has applied for an EIDL loan, an emergency injury disaster loan from the Small Business Administration. If granted, this would provide a loan of as much as $2 million at a 2.75% APR for a term of 30 years, with 2 years grace period before a first payment would be due. Application has been made, but to the best of my knowledge, there's no word yet on whether we'll be granted such a loan. that is never to be taken on lightly. But EIDL loan rates are far preferable to what we're paying now on our considerable debt load. An EIDL loan would buy us time to get our financial house in order and capitalize on the recent progress we've made, bringing all audits up to date and getting budgets in place across the network. That work continues apace. With fiscal year 21 budgets in hand for 7 of the 8 Pacifica units, those can now inform the creation of a fiscal year 22 national budget office or national office budget. the NFC's intended first fiscal year 22 priority, followed then by all other units. As reported at the most recent NFC meeting, of the other 7 units, one is ready for immediate review at the PNB. 2 more were ready to present to their local station boards for approval. 2 of the smaller units anticipated no delay in completing their budgets, with the remaining 2 units, including KPFK, in need of significant further work. With a more direct and complete connection to NEDA, availability of financial documents is expected to improve. September year-end closing financials usually take a bit longer to complete than other months, but NEDA may well have them for us at the next NFC meeting. That would mean we'll be ready on time for the next audit. At that point, the only remaining obstacle would be that we still owe the auditors for their work on previous audits. That must be paid first for us to be able to move forward with the current audit in order to remain compliant with financial regulations. If granted, the EIDL loan could help with that need. Over the course of the last month, I've attended all regular and special meetings for which I'm responsible to represent KPFK, including all Pacifica National Board, National Finance Committee, National Strategic Planning Committee, National Development Task Force, and other meetings, to assure that KPFK listeners and the LSB always have a reliable representative at the national level. I've recently been asked to chair the National Development Task Force and have done so on a pro tem basis for the last 2 meetings. If it pleases the task force, I've agreed to continue in that capacity on a regular basis, beginning with our next meeting. The NDTS is in the process of identifying a number of potential major revenue streams, laying out clear steps to realize those possibilities, and accepting assignments to shepherd Pacifica through those processes. Our current crisis has necessitated endless background work, collaborating with colleagues at the national level. Many from elsewhere have been more than generous with their time, efforts, and expertise in grappling with the existential crisis, for which I'm very grateful. Many thanks to the more experienced colleagues who help inform my work along the way. I'm still relatively new to Pacifica governance. Each month that passes, I understand Pacifica with greater depth, greater scope, piecing together a more complete understanding of what brings us to this moment. Whatever insight I'm able to gain, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with others by way of this report and the extensive contact I enjoy with so many Pacificans throughout the month. Thank you all for your support and for making this work possible. I'm more than willing to respond to questions, comments, suggestions, and civil critique. But given recent episodes of trolling, I will qualify that by stating plainly that I recognize no obligation to acknowledge or respond to ad hominem attack, defamation, or other forms of verbal abuse. Nevertheless, I remain ready to serve in peace for Pacifica. Beth von Gunten.
Thank you, Beth. That went over our time, but I allowed it because Lydia was not here to report, and I appreciate the completeness. We have a few hands up, but we have to hear from Ali first, and then we have time for the LSB comment, then we have another period of public comment. So I see your hand, Alan, but wait. We have to hear from Ali first. Go ahead, Ali.
Okay, since we don't have much time, I'll make it brief. Just wanted to say that I support and thank Beth for her report. I support
90% of what was in her report, 100, you know. What I did want to add is the last month, the PNB had a lot of closed session meetings, obviously with items that I cannot discuss here. But I do want to say that I think that the closed sessions, you know, while they need to happen when personnel or legal issues are discussed, I hear a lot of things going on in closed session that could and should be discussed publicly. And I think we do our listeners and those that attend a disservice by having so many closed sessions where directors can vote and discuss things in secret, where we really should, when we can, always have those meetings and those items in open session. And I also wanted to add about the lawsuit that Lawrence brought up, that Sharon Kyle, Akio Tanaka, and Lyndon Foley have been dismissed from that lawsuit. That's my report.
Thank you. So I see several hands from members.
Chair,
point of
clarification. Clear point of clarification, Chair. I did not bring up that matter in regard to legal litigation. What I did bring up was the New Day Pacifica lawsuit, that the only person that was dismissed from that lawsuit was Lyndon Foley from KPFT.
This is Beth. May I concur with Ali on the matter of excessive closed sessions? Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Thanks. My recommendation would be
Beth and Ali.
Thank you. So I would urge our directors to take that up at the PNB to see what can be reported out more fully, possibly, or what should be moved out of closed session into public session. Thank you. So I see several hands from members. Alan Beek had a hand up.
Yes.
Alan, go ahead.
In connection with the data being supplied by NETA, is there some contact that we can reach at NETA to discuss questions of timing and format?
Yes, Alan, you can take that up in the Finance Committee and Treasury report. There was somebody from NETA at the Finance Committee this month, so we'll be getting to that. Janine?
I didn't catch your answer. Did you say who we can reach at NETA for information?
Yes, I said we would take it up with the Finance Committee report that's coming up on the agenda. There was someone from NETA at the Finance Committee that we just had, and the Treasurer will be reporting on that.
Thank you.
Janine, you had your hand up, and then I see Bella and Ali again.
Hi. I just wanted to make a note that I've posted the Finance Committee letter of concern that was signed back in January of 2020 and put forward to the LSB for a vote of support, which passed. And what it is it's asking for the normal set of documents from the business manager at the time, or NETA, to be supplied to the LSB. And we don't get them. And it's 20 months later, it's almost 2 years that I've been on the committee, I've never seen them, a proper set of finance. So what I'm saying is that in the absence of a business manager, this now has been turned over to NETA. And during the last meeting, the treasurer chastised us, several of the members of the committee again, for asking for these documents. And I just wanted to ask for everyone's support, because there will be a motion at the governance which was already at this last governance to get now pass another motion that's needed.
I'm sorry. This is not about the directors. Let's take it up when we get.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because she's Elizabeth spoke of NETA. Now it's in the capable hands of NETA, and I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is we don't have the documents to be looking at our finances.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I have. Beth, was your hand back up, or is it just left over from earlier?
That's if this is a question and answer, then that was a question, and I'm prepared with an answer.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, the change to move all our financial services under NEDA has just occurred, just within the last less than 10 days. And NEDA had two of their staff people on site in the office this last week to implement that conversion. They've installed a scanning machine so that now any financial documents, any bills, or other related things that come in will be scanned into their system, not faxed for someone else to do data entry someday later, scanned into their system digitally from our office when they come in. And from that point, they'll be able to respond to our requests for documents much more efficiently than they were when there was a third component between us, who often functioned as the bottleneck in that chain of communication. And so I think to me, to hear this raised again, without allowing time for the implementation of what was intended to fix that problem, it just feels like beating a dead horse.
Okay,
give us a
you.
Chance to get it working. Thank you.
Okay, I have hands up from Bella DeSoto, and then Ali, I think, wanted to speak again. Bella, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I mentioned this earlier on, and you stopped me, Mr. Chair, because I wanted to give a preview of what was coming up. This motion that Janine just brought up is very critical, but I want to talk about NETA. In February, we did not receive our duly monthly timely report, which is only one, a so-called consolidated for the foundation P&L. We received that in April. The March was received also late. The April late, and consequently, it gets later and later. Now we will have no local accountability, and we are demanding what we should have demanded a long time ago from NETA. So for Beth to continue to cover this up is because she apparently does not understand the accounting procedural process on a monthly basis. And please do not stop me. I will conclude. And I want everybody to be aware that the Finance Committee has been crippled for a long, long time because we have not been getting from the local nor from NETA the adequate reports. And this is a very disgusting and disgraceful situation we're in. Now we're turning over everything over to this outsource company, and this is just not good. Thank you.
Chair, I have a request for information.
Yes, what is your question?
My question is, didn't the governance committee agree to allow the listeners to ask questions? And
yes, on the agenda. It's after this. We have additional time, and there'll be time for board members to respond to the questions that are posed. Thank you. I'd like to stand up for a while, and Eric Jacobson, and then I think we're at time for this. Ali?
Yeah, sure. Quickly, just want to point out personal insults are unnecessary and unproductive. I was at the station last week. I met with two representatives from NETA. They were there, as Beth said. We installed a scanner and a system, and we dedicated a workstation specifically to that scanner for the purposes of interfacing with them. My personal experience with NETA, ever since they've been in working with the station, I interface with them on HR and staff issues. The representative I deal with has always responded within minutes of any email. Phone calls, I can call during work hours, no problem. So I have full confidence that they're going to be up and running, and they'll be able to get you the documents you need as long as you, you know, find out the right channels, as Alan Beek was asking for, who the point person is going to be. But I was very impressed with their professionalism and their actions. And they met with the new GM
for 2 days straight while they were there, as well as Terry and other key staff. That's what I wanted to say about that trend.
Okay, thanks. Eric Jacobson?
Yes, thank you, Michael. This is a comment regarding the democratic process within Pacifica. That process requires that all concerned accede to the results of the democratic process. And it appears that there is, unfortunately, an unwillingness to do that, both with respect to the recent referendum results on the part of the New Day side that lost by virtue of not winning a majority of the staff separate vote of the class of voters in the staff of the various stations. And now it also appears that there's some resistance to accepting the validity of the just completed LSB election results whenever they come out. There is no way that a democratic system can work if all concerned don't, at the time that they've done their best to make sure it's the best possible process and avail themselves of all their potential avenues for perfecting it, then after the results are known, continue to fight. This is going to end up being very detrimental to Pacifica, and I'd like all concerned who are doing that to reconsider. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So we're at time for public comment number two, and there will be additional time for the directors to respond if questions are raised by the public related to the reports. I have a hand up from Colin User. Excuse me, Colin User number two. You need to unmute yourself, and then you can speak.
Thank you, Michael. Raymond Goldstone. I'm concerned about this matter of NETA. Forgive me if I'm not entirely placid in my remarks, but I must say I listened and participated, not in, but as an observer, in a constant bullying and bad-mouthing of our former business manager. I began to see that develop again at the last meeting with regard to professionals from NETA. I am very concerned that we develop not what two or three members of the Finance Committee want, but that we work collegially with NETA so that we can have a radio station. And the fact that NETA may not do the books the way someone else wants or someone else wants is not absolutely necessary for us to run a radio station.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Sorry, calling user number three. You have a hand up. Go ahead.
Yes. This is Jonathan Markowitz. I'm very concerned about the executive sessions of the National Board in regard what Ali Luxa brought up. I think it's an important point. However, what I think is necessary is that there needs to be some sort of minutes prepared by Pacifica National Board meetings that go into executive sessions that refer to issues that are dealt with during the executive sessions or executive meetings without revealing those issues, such as personnel issues and other issues that could be legitimately of concern to warrant having an executive session. I think that this is really a very slippery slope, especially when it comes to finance issues. I mean, I understand that staff and management salaries would come under the context of, you know, privacy issues. But when it comes to the financial matters of the station and the network, and especially in regards to how to solve these financial deficits that we're seeing in all of the five signal areas at one time or another, in two different degrees, that I think that it's critical that all of the information be available.
Time is up. Thank
you. Okay, thanks. Your time is up, John. Thank you. I have a hand up from Kim in the chat, and then Andrew Weiss. Kim Kaufman, go ahead.
I'm not sure where to start because, you know, a whole bunch of gibberish has been going on here. I just want to speak about NETA, and I want to point out that the reason for the lateness of the reports have been coming from KPFK for the last so many years. So that NETA is handling this directly now should make for quicker reports. That was your problem right there. And all this hollering for more documents, absolutely nobody on that finance committee bothers to even read the documents that they do receive. None of those. And that's more documents is not going to help because you don't deal with the ones you have. I have done a lot of work with the documents that we do get. And, you know, my record speaks for that. I just want to point out that the FJC loan was supposed to, quote, buy us time to get our financial house in order, unquote. And that didn't work out at all. Pacifica is in a worse condition. So another loan is just delaying the...
Thank you, Kim. That's your time.
Whatever. Thank you.
Andrew Weiss, and then I have a comment from Hara Handala in the chat. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Thank you all again. Following up on my first comment, given that we are such challenged here with what we're trying to accomplish, this great challenge of Pacifica Radio, I think we need to, and also the financial challenges we're having, I think it's a good thing. It's forcing us to clean up our act, which I think we need to do in order to succeed with this challenge that we're faced with, which is accomplishing pulling off a listener-sponsored radio station, democratically governed. Also, with that in mind, I urge everybody that we not expect it all to get done right away. It's going to take work. It's going to take time. We be patient with each other, and we also treat each other respectfully so we can get the work done, and we be very careful about what we say, how we say it to each other, and what we're bringing up, only of what is necessary and not just our own agenda. And then also I'd like to say that once again with the Pacifica Listener Forum, it's a chance for us to let off steam, to discuss things in an open way, and also to interact with Stuart Landau. I think he'll be participating much and giving lots of information direct and very open to discussing what's going on in a very respectful way. Thank you all.
Yeah, thanks. You can reach Andrew at the Pacifica Listener Forum at gmail.com if you want to get on the list for those calls. Here's the public comment from Hara Handala. 2 points. One, it's an excellent practice to have a tranche of public comment, not only immediately after the director's reports, but to also allow the directors to respond to those comments, which we are doing. Congrats to the author of the proposed agenda, Chair Novick and the body, for agreeing to this. Number two, Lawrence Reyes just said he was one of six directors, but proposing what? So five questions to Lawrence in the spirit of transparency, facilitating accountability. A, did you sign all four proposed bylaws amendments? B, who signed the two that each requires a referendum because they adversely and materially affect all members' voting rights, the proposed extension of directors' terms, and proposing to reduce the frequency of amendments springing from a member's petition. C, when you submitted them, were you aware that each required a referendum if you were one of the submitters? Are you aware, and I emphasize this is a Pandora's box and now released, even if the even if they are rejected by the PNB and the five LSBs. I'm not sure if there's more to that. There has to be a membership referendum for each. And lastly, E, why did you choose just now to be opaque and choose not to name the signers? Thank you. So Lawrence did have his hand up. Hang on a second, Lawrence, because we have one more public call, and then we'll go to directors' responses to the public comments. Ruth Strauss, go ahead. You have to unmute yourself.
Hi, thank you. This is not an attack. This is my observation over several months period. For 7 months, I listened before I joined the finance committee. The previous business manager often did not give poor reports in a timely manner. In fact, I would say that was consistently true. He also would talk about income that came in, but would not put in his figures what was going out. But then at the end of the meeting would announce that we're in dire straits. There are people on that committee whom I respect a lot who basically had to argue every time. One person who's been a longtime member and board member said, you know, there were imaginary numbers. So I don't want anybody to be under the illusion that that person was let go, you know, without cause, although it may have been just a financial decision. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a financial matter. So we'll leave it. We don't want to get in comments about people's personnel. Thank you. We have a few minutes now for
Mr. Chair. I keep response. Raising my hand. Hello, this is a member of the public. I've raised my hand three times.
I'm sorry. There are too many screens to look at. Where are you?
I have no idea. I'm on by phone.
I don't know. Go ahead. I still don't see you, but go ahead.
Point of order. Janine's in the waiting room. It's not Janine. Paulina is in the waiting room trying to get in. Thanks. Bye.
It's not showing up on the screen.
That was an hour ago. Don't worry about it. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead. Hang on a second, Lawrence. Let the caller. Go ahead.
Okay.
Caller.
So, thank you. I thought also that we had agreed, or this is a point of information, don't count this in my time, that there would be no second public comment by anyone until everyone had had a first. And I know you're maybe having at least two people who got two turns while I was waiting. Okay.
Because it was calling user number two, I thought you were John Markowitz. That's what happened. I apologize. He was calling.
Both.
Go ahead.
Both John and I are happy that I am not John. Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so a couple of things. One, New Day needs to stop lying about the referendum results. There are two classes of staff that has been in the bylaws since 2003. That has not changed. There are two separate votes. Both must pass. Done. Can we be done with that? I mean, we have lawyers lying, but that may be par for the course. And the KPFA protectors need to stop whining that they're being sued. They bring a lawsuit. They attempt to do things that are illegal. They and their New Day friends, it's the same bunch of people, label them how you will, are now whining that they were sued. The corporation has an obligation, not just a right, an obligation to defend itself, us, the membership, against the crap that y'all have been putting out. The amount of money that has been spent on legal fees for this nonsense for the past 2 years? Insane. Stop it. As to the PNB, in 2013, they came to New York. They cut off 75% of our paid staff. We are still in recovery mode. So I feel for what's happening at KPFK. I also know that I've attended finance committee meetings at KPFK, and I have seen a level of nastiness, unprofessionalism, and targeting of the former GM and the former business manager for their own health. I'm glad that they are not there. But folks need to understand that you can be diligent about your duty without being nasty.
Thank you for your comment.
That's
your time.
Staff.
Thank you for your comment.
Okay. Thanks. So we have about 4 minutes for responses from the directors. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you, Hara, for your questions. The reason why I didn't mention the other names of the directors that signed on to the bylaws proposal is let me mention them now. They are Alex Steinberg, the chair of the board at WBAI, James Sagerton, director from WBAI, Beth Van Gulden, director from KPFK, Heather Gray, affiliate director from Radio Free Georgia, myself, Lawrence Reyes, director from KPFK, Ronald Pinchback, director from WPFW, Julie Hewitt, director from WPFW, Tom Voorhees, director from KPFA, and Thomas O'Rourke, director from WPFW. And I just want to say one last thing, Chair. In regards to Jan is correct in regards that Akio Tanaka, Lyndon Foley, and Sharon Cao were dismissed from the lawsuit. The New Day Pacifica on this recent decision was found to have violated California Corporations Code, and Jan Goodman and her husband were the representing lawyers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are there other directors who want to respond to any of the questions that were raised from the public comment? Beth or Lee, anything further?
I'm good for now. I think I've said
okay.
What I had to say. Thanks.
All right. So we're going to move on.
Chair,
I have a point of personal privilege. This is Jan Goodman.
Okay, yeah. What's your point of personal privilege?
Mr. Reyes just said that I violated some corporations code, and I want to know specifically what corporations code section he's talking about, and where this was found, because that is absolutely not true. I want to know the basis of that statement.
Okay, so the basis of that statement, Jan, is in the report. If you scroll down the report that Arthur submitted to the PMB and did give me permission to share it publicly. New Day Pacifica, I'm not saying you, but New Day Pacifica.
You said Jan Goodman, wait a minute, excuse me. You said
no,
Jan Goodman.
No, what I said, Jan.
And
Jan,
and
what
her
I
husband,
said,
Jerry Mantle. That's what you
no,
said.
No, sorry. Everybody stop.
Hold on,
what Mr. Reyes said was that New Day violated the corporations code. He said that you and Jerry Manperl was the legal
representing attorneys. That's all I said.
Wait a minute. And okay. And what?
Were you not the representing attorney, Jen?
The only I represented myself at that hearing. Yes. My question is, okay. There was no finding that there was any violation of any code section whatsoever. The only thing that was found was that the case was not moved to Alameda County. So I want to know specifically what corporations code I don't have that report in front of me, and neither do any of the people, or neither do many of the people who are listening to this. So cite me specifically what corporations code section New Day Pacifica was that you said that they violated, because that did not happen.
Let me, thank you, Jen. Let me
An
paraphrase.
Accusation. Thank you.
Let me paraphrase what the judge said. The judge said that he it very disturbing. The judge said that he found it very disturbing that New Day Pacifica was solicit funds when they were sending out emails encouraging people to vote a certain way. So he found
the
that
judge did not
very
say that.
Disturbing.
The judge did not
well,
say that.
Well, you need to read the report. You don't have it in front of you. So that's
you know
why
I was there.
I'm paraphrasing.
I was there.
I'm paraphrasing. I'm paraphrasing what's already in my report, Jack. So if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to refer to the report. Thank you.
I'm not referring to the report. I'm referring to you saying that there was a violation of a code by New Day. There was an allegation that there was a violation of a code section, an allegation. That's a far different thing than a ruling that there was a violation.
So do you want to read that?
Read from the report. Read
it is an allegation.
Out
it says, even so, the FAC alleges at the least separate and distinct causes of action against Kyle and Goodman, including causes of action for violation of Corporations Code 6338, parentheses A, parentheses 1, and parentheses 2, accounting and unjust enrichment. As plaintiff has sufficiently shown that Kyle and Goodman are residents of Los Angeles County, and as plaintiff alleges causes of action against the two defendants that are not reliant on their alleged officer roles, plaintiff sufficiently rebuts New Day's contention that the FAC improperly sued various defendants in a bid to hold the case in Los Angeles County. To the extent New Day argues that the allegations have no merit, the instant motion is not an appropriate venue for that determination. Thus, pursuant to CCP, California Corporations, I don't know, whatever CCP stands for, 395, which provides that the Superior Court in the county where the defendants or some of them reside at the commencement of the action is the proper court for the trial of the action. The court will also deny the motion on this basis. So,
there's only
an allegation, but the court ruled that there was sufficient. There's somebody in the waiting room that I can't get to. Can somebody else submit them?
They've been let in.
Yeah, you have Eric. Okay, Jacobson.
All right, let's move on, please.
You have Eric Jacobson's hand up. I'd like to hear from him.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're at time for this item, and we have other business to take care of. So
I'd like to stand for 2 minutes to hear Eric Jacobson. That's a motion.
Okay, is there any objection extending for 90 seconds for Eric Jacobson?
Some room.
All right.
I object.
Is there a second objection?
I second it.
Jan Goodman objects.
Okay, I don't want to vote. We're just going to move on. There'll be plenty of time. There's additional plenty of comments from the LSB. We're up to the Treasury report and the financing reports and discussion. Fred Blair, you're up.
Thank you, Michael. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Okay, I sent out my Treasurer's report for October this morning. I also sent out a copy of the KPFK budget for FY21 and some fund drive reports in a second email this morning. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the fund drive in my treasurer's report, so you might want to reference some of those spreadsheets. The financials should, I'm going to read my treasurer's report. It's a page and a half, or about a page. The financial situation at KPFK has now passed a threshold whereby the station can't bring in enough income to pay operational expenses. We are no longer operating in a normal business financial manner, and something will have to be done, or the Pacifica Board may have to shut down this unit in order to save the rest of the network. And I make the statement, what can't go on doesn't. The current fall fund drive that started October 5th is doing very badly. The daily dollar average is around $5,000 per day. This is after 12 days that I calculated this average. This is about the same as the summer fund drive in July and is the source of our crisis. The total dollars pledged is currently around $60,000 as of this Saturday. This is very bad and unsustainable situation. As to the fund drive performance itself, the major fundraisers are the same standard usual programmers. And I name the major major programmers that raise money: Margaret Prescott, Maggie LePeak, Roy Tuckman, Global Village, and Christine Blasdell. Everyone else is far behind in their dollar numbers to these programmers. I'll let that sink in. Okay, the KPFK Finance Committee met on Wednesday, October 13th, 2021, but was prevented from proceeding when two members used dilatory objections to delay implementing the agenda for 45 minutes. The meeting finally proceeded when GM Miguel Quesada went ahead with his report without regard to the greatly delayed agenda or the chair. One important announcement made. Our business manager, Barry Brooks, was replaced by Pacifica's accounting consultants, NETA, as a cost-saving measure by the Pacifica PNB board. Also, the GM informed us that our telephone system is being reorganized, restructured, and redesigned to remove redundancies and reduce costs by 80% over current levels. This will reduce our costs in FY22 by approximately $85,000 per year, $85,000 later this fiscal year. Plus, additionally, we will have the latest radio and telephone technologies to run our studios and operations after this upgrade restructuring is done. Other cost reduction measures are also being undertaken now. I don't have KPFK's operating administrative bank account balance this month, but KPFK has met its payroll these last few months by borrowing money from other Pacifica business units because of our low fund drive income. I don't know if we met last week's payroll or not because of the chaos at the finance meeting on Wednesday. These are my opinions and truths as I see them. Thank you for your time. Now I open this up to questions from the board. Michael?
Jan Goodman, I have a question.
Yeah, I see Eric Jacobs had a hand up, and then we'll take Jan. Eric, you have to unmute yourself.
Michael, that was from the previous.
Okay, sorry. Jan, and then Bella.
Yes. How much money has been lost since the loss of Sonali Kolhatkar and Ian Masters, who had been under attack and finally both resigned? What did that cost the station?
I don't have that kind of numbers available at my fingertips. I would have to estimate how much they normally raised a normal fund drive. Now that they're gone, we're not bringing that in. But the fact that we've gone from the spring fund drive was raising on average around something on the order of $9,000 a day, and the summer and now fall fund drives are raising $5,000. So, I mean, you can draw some conclusions, but I don't have the numbers for that. Sorry about that.
Okay, and can you, have you created and or looked at graphs that have been done to show poor showing, which I understand is the worst fund drive we've ever had. Is it kind of in line, if you graphed it, is it in line with the downward trend, and how long has that downward trend been in effect, if you know?
I haven't made any direct graphs, but I have financial documents from Terry Guy. Back in 2014, the daily average for our fund drive is about 40. Would somebody please mute their microphone? I'm hearing a lot of static. The daily average back in 2014 was $43,000 a day. Our daily averages are in the last year have gone down to about last year. In my report, I have last year our fund drive daily average was on the order of from a high of $14,000 a day for the October fund drive in 2020 to we were down to $10,000 a day in February, and of course July was $5,000 a day. But the previous year, fiscal year 20, we were averaging on the order of $15,000 to $19,000 a day, depending on the fund drive. So, but the fund, as I say, the fund drives have been on a downward trend since 2014. Major.
And where are we now again?
I'm sorry?
Where are we now?
This fund drive is doing $5,000 a day on average. That, if you look at the daily pledges, our worst day was, I think, $1,500, and our best day was about $8,000 that day. So they the daily total pledge total will oscillate, but the average is the most important thing. The average is about $5,000.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. So there is a pretty steady downward trend, and I think part of the reason for that, apart from any loss particular shows, is that basically the last 2 years we've been doing six fund drives a year, every other month for almost an entire month, and we've what the GM said in his report was a little bit by a metaphor, but he said if you have land and you deplete the soil, eventually you can't grow any crops. And so if you go to the same well over and over again, it's going to run dry, which we're experiencing. Bella DeSoto,
could I add one additional note?
Go ahead.
For fiscal year 21, the total number of fund drive days was, I calculated, 189. That's more than one. That's more than one fund drive day in every two. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I said. Basically, every other month for a month is 6 months out of the year, a little over. Bella?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I thought I was... I wanted to make a statement here because this is really, really... the public does not know this unless they go and listen to the audio. From 9:15 at KPFDX in the most recent recording, you said that the KPFK Finance Committee met on Wednesday, October 13th, and the meeting was prevented from happening because of some members, LSB members, using dilatory objections to the agenda for 45 minutes. But the reality is that the individuals you were inferencing are myself and Janine Ron. You interrupted me several times while I had the floor requesting agenda items to be included into the agenda as per protocol before approving the agenda. Then because you voted my request down unilaterally without asking the body of its support, Janine then tried requesting that my request be added to the agenda. You refused again. Lawrence Reyes and others stepped in to challenge your ruling. And then Grace Aaron did agree and ask you to reconsider and add my request to the agenda. You then agreed with her because she seems to be in full control of the Finance Committee. And you give her preferences. And then on top of that, there is no excuse here for you not having the account balance, the bank account balance, if you would understand the monthly accounting reporting sequence, which at 9/15/2021 Finance Committee meeting, you stated that you have no such acumen. The necessary monthly financial documents that have been requested month after month continue being ignored. While you give preference to Finance Committee member, Grace Aaron, permitting her to intervene at will to run the meeting. This chaos you are referring to has been created by your dictatorial manner to chair the Finance Committee, muting the members of this committee when bringing up legitimate requests. You have also muted members of the public by ruling no public comments with ridiculous excuses. Instead, you rule singularly at every single instance without consulting the committee members.
Bella, I think that's time for your comments. We have other hands.
I am about to conclude.
Okay,
therefore, you have been creating what you classify as chaos. Your behavior, Fred Blair, as chair, has now reached an intolerable and untenable level. Thank you.
Okay, Janine, and then Lawrence.
Can I make a personal comment here?
Quickly, Fred.
I was warned not to make any comment about the finance meeting at all because I would just cheapen my own report by mentioning anything. And I'm sorry I did. Thank you.
Dean, go ahead.
Hi. I put in the chat some of the issues that are taking place in the Finance Committee that we're just not getting the reports. And you know, Bella and I, although there's a lot of people that are very interested and passionate that the finances get back on track, the fact is that the people that know what these reports, the information these reports give that we're not getting, are the ones that are getting quieted. And yes, Fred did say at some point that he doesn't have a lot of financial background. And when I reminded him of that, I was muted at the September meeting. So I don't mean to dredge all this up, but there needs to be a reality of what's going on in the finances. Even this last October meeting, I asked Fred, how are we handling the deficit? Who is paying the payroll? What is paying on a day-to-day? Because at the beginning of September, we had an LSB emergency meeting. We started a strategy group, and Fred kind of squashed any concern of making immediate actions to try to find the money for payroll. So on one hand, he says that to the group, the strategy group, and now he presents things in such a dire situation. I would like to know from the treasurer right now, where is our deficit regarding payroll coming from? Is it coming from KPFA? It is about, I believe, about 30,000 each payroll cycle. So I would like to know if there's an agreement at the national level of what is covering our costs. And a treasurer that doesn't know that, our treasurer should be able to answer that for us. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Can I respond, Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Fred. We have about 5 more minutes, so quickly, sure. And then we have at least 3 more comments.
You know, it's interesting that you spent all that time at the finance meeting on Wednesday preventing people from making reports and giving information, and nobody was muted this last Wednesday at any point. As for the who's paying for KPFK's expenses, I have no operational control over the station, but the person who does is the executive director, Lydia Brazone, and she knows exactly where the money came to pay the payroll and to pay any expenses that were paid. And the fact that that the general manager was not allowed to speak for the first hour until he got so frustrated that he had to break in and give his report and then leave is really despicable. So we could have found out where the money came from the general manager, but by the time he was finished and left, that question couldn't be answered. Thank you.
Okay, I have Lawrence, Eric, Beth, and then we're out of time.
Thank you. And we are borrowing money to make payroll. I believe the last payroll was met as a result of some donations that came in, a bunch of donations that came in to the national office, and they were able to meet payroll. It looks like we are in a position to borrow money again, depending on the fund drive situation, to make our payroll, KPFK's payroll again. Where the money's coming from, I really don't know if I can mention it. So I'm not. Withhold that. I apologize. But I just want to mention one thing. Granted, we did lose two prominent programmers that were bringing in a stream of income. But some of the programmers did engage in attacks against governance on the air that I believe depressed our donor base and also chased away an audience. They probably went wherever they went. So I just want to mention that I do recognize that we did lose two income streams, but they were those programmers were also engaged in propaganda for New Day Pacifica.
Thank you. All right. Eric, then Beth, and then we're at time.
Yes, I'd like to, comment and ask for any follow-up that Fred might be able to provide on the rather startling information about the exorbitant telephone function costs that the station has been incurring, evidently for a very long time. My understanding is that this was discovered and then compared to the situation at our Berkeley station counterpart, which employs a completely different system. And we got some technical advice to transition to something close to what they do. And as a result, you've mentioned, Fred, that there's been an enormous savings or will be an enormous savings over time. A couple of quick pointed questions. Number one, whose responsibility was it and how far back did it go for incurring these excess costs? And what is your ballpark estimate of the amount of savings we'll now be incurring monthly? If you've already said it, I apologize. Could you repeat it? Thank you.
Eric, the National Finance Committee discovered that KPFK was paying, when we were going over KPFK's budget, we discovered that KPFK of the five stations was the only one paying $10,000 a month for telecommunications expenses. All the other stations were down at the level of about $2,000 a month or less. This was when we were going over KPFK's budget. The person that's responsible for telecommunications infrastructure and negotiating the any changes to that is the general manager. And this basically goes, and these costs at KPFK basically go back to the beginning of the pandemic in probably in February of 2020, when the lockdown took place. Even though the station basically moved all its staff out of the station and went into an automated mode of operation, none of the telecommunications costs for telephones and other services for internet were renegotiated with the vendors that were providing those services. At the NFC level, we found out that KPFA over the last 3 years had completely redesigned their system, going from a yearly expense of about $150,000 down to $20,000.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to leave it at that. We're at time. Beth, we're really at time this entire item, but Beth had her hand up sometimes, so let her make one comment, and then we'll have to move the agenda.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, I want to comment on the Finance Committee process, pointing out that much of the information that people are demanding relentlessly would have been available to them if they had let the agenda proceed without interference, and that the interference begins well before the meeting does, a good half an hour or more before, when one member in particular starts haranguing the list and the chair to change from maestro call to Zoom at the last minute, and tries to rally enough people to push that decision to be made, and goes so far as to post alternate access information using her own account to a Zoom platform immediately before the meeting begins. I consider that overt sabotage. And
okay,
once we get into session, the chair can't even begin to speak without being badgered from both sides. Last month it went on for half an hour. This time it was 45 minutes, and its driving is completely off the rails. I object.
All right, thank you. We're going to move the agenda to the Governance Committee. We have two motions from Governance. There'll be additional public comment later. No, Raymond has his hand up. We have more public comment after this, Raymond, so just hold on. So there are two motions from the Governance Committee. The first one is a revision to the membership policy on LSB committees. And I don't see that appended to this page of the minutes I'm looking at. Jane, do you have that to read out? It's basically changes two sections, or two language in one section, two changes. One is currently there's a limit on non-LSB members on the committee of up to one less than the number of LSB members. We would be striking that limit, and membership would be based on participation in the committee. The second was to count participation at all regularly scheduled meetings. So the first three regularly scheduled meetings, or three subsequent regularly scheduled meetings.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Soto.
Yes, without exception, two special meetings.
Yeah, three regular meetings. So are there any objections to those changes in the policy? It was a very long policy we adopted several months ago. There were objections raised at a couple of different committees about the limit on the number of non-LSB members. It seemed too rigorous and strict. These are strictly advisory committees. Anything that comes from the committee is only recommendations of the local station board, and is, subject to approval or change by the board at its regular meetings once the motion comes from committee.
Yes, I object. Jan Goodman.
Okay.
Michael, this is Janine. I just want to let you know I posted the document and the with the changes that are being proposed
great.
In the chat. I'll send it as an email.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's I see that now. It's a PDF is posted in the chat. I guess people can click on it.
Mr. Chair, this is
Bella. Well, I only heard one
objection on this matter.
I asked for objections. I only heard one objection. So is there a second objection? Otherwise, we'll adopt it.
This is Beth.
I'll
with a point of order. With a point of
Sandy,
order.
Sandy, I second.
I'm
or
sorry.
Second the objection.
All right. Thank you. What's your point of order, Beth?
According to the parliamentarian at the PNB, who's a professional parliamentarian, the rule about ignoring one objection and requiring a second before honoring it isn't actually a Roberts rule.
Okay.
And
sorry.
So we have to acknowledge all objections. Thank
okay.
you.
Sure. In any case, we had a couple of objections, so let's have some discussion. Is there somebody who wanted to speak in favor of the motion from the Governance Committee?
Mr. Chair, Bella.
Go ahead.
Yes, many listener members have complained. They have also emailed their complaints, and this has been going on for quite a while. There seems to be a conflict with the ethos of the mission and the bylaws, which has been limiting participation from the public. And so the public has been voicing an opposition, complained about these rules. And it's time that we open up the committees, as they used to be years ago, to as much public participation as possible. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Jan, you said you were, oh, I'm sorry, Alan has a hand up. Did you want to speak against the motion, Alan? You have to unmute yourself.
Well, I would like to speak against it.
Okay, go ahead. We'll have Jan first. Go ahead.
Please let Alan go if he wants to speak against it.
Okay.
And I'll speak later.
The problem with Alan is that when he unmutes himself, he has his phone and his computer on. It creates enormous amounts of feedback. Go ahead, Alan. Try to speak
to
and we'll
Alan.
See what it
is.
Alan, you're unmuted, but you're on two devices, and it causes a tremendous amount of feedback because you're on your computer and your phone.
Oh.
Until Alan can figure out how to deal with that problem.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jan.
The computer, I've turned his volume clear down to zero.
Okay, go ahead. That's a little better.
Just, I think that it is not right to have all these regulations and restrictions about who can be on a subcommittee. I think that anybody that wants to work is going to be welcome in the committees, and they should be welcomed onto the committee, and that way we'll get some work done. I think that making all these fine little details is improper. I'm through.
Okay, thank you. So actually, that's the speaker in favor of the motion, which was to lift the restriction on the number of people who could join committees. Go ahead, Jan. You have to unmute yourself. Jan, you have to unmute yourself to speak. Go ahead.
Okay, hello? Okay.
Yeah.
So these are supposed to be subcommittees of the local station board. If they were committees of, just random people, that's one thing. But it's supposed to be a subcommittee of the local station board, and the local station board people were elected, just as we're having an election now, to represent the community of listeners. The problem with just letting in anybody who attends meetings is that anybody, like me or anybody else, I could just get, 10 of my friends to say, okay, we're going to, start going to this meeting, and then just totally take over the committee for whatever reason or non-reason of accomplishing something or making sure that nothing gets accomplished. And the one thing that makes that more difficult, if not impossible, is making sure that the number of people on the local station board exceeds the non-members of the local station board by one, so that it keeps the committee to, whatever that number might be. And if we had the time, expertise, or whatever, we could say instead of qualifying by the number of times you go to the number of meetings you go to, has nothing to do with expertise. It just has to do with how much time you have to spend. So, preferably, we'd say, oh, we want people who have expertise in bookkeeping or accounting to be on this committee, and we're going to have like the best ones of those. But that would be very problematic trying to implement that. But to just say that you qualify because you have time to go to a bunch of meetings.
Point of order, is it timekeeper keeping time?
The point is that we have a hard enough time in our committees getting work done without just, and it's also important to keep committees
and meet, you know, meetings to a regular size. So how many people?
The host will be informed that you would like to speak.
If you allow it to just be, you know, whoever's willing to come to the meeting, those committees can get huge. So I oppose it, and I suggest other people oppose it also.
All right, I'm going to call myself to speak in favor of the motion. I drafted the revised policy.
Chair, you have it stacked. Chair, you have it stacked. I'm sorry, I don't know if you see the stack.
Yeah, I see the stack, but I can't raise my hand, and I'm calling on myself to speak in favor. I don't speak very much at these meetings except to call on people, and I want to speak on this issue and item. I drafted the original change in the policy. The earlier policy took a lot of work to get people to be allowed to serve on LSB committees at all. A couple of years ago, it was a very restrictive policy that was put in place that claimed that the committee had a vote on people who wanted to join the committee, and then the LSB had a vote on who could join the committee. That policy was never really honored, and so I drafted a policy a few months ago, which was adopted. I left in place the point about having a majority of the committee be members of the LSB, but in practice, I have found that very few members of the LSB actually want to work on committees. More than half of the members don't attend any committees at all. Most of the committees I'm on have quite a number of people who are not members of the LSB, who are conscientious members of Pacifica and of KPFK and participate very effectively on the committees, and particularly both at the fundraising committee, at the program oversight committee, and at some of the others. There was a paucity of membership from the local station board to allow people who wanted to participate to do so. So I think that we have to work on how effectively our committees work, but I think that we don't want to put up barriers to participation. The people who come to the committees are people, for the most part, who are donors and supporters and active listeners, and they have things to say. And so I think that this is a legitimate change. There are only advisory committees. The requirement of three meetings makes it clear that people are coming because they are interested in learning about the work of that committee and participating in it, and that's a sufficient limit on membership. So I think this is a good change in the policy. I'll go back to another speaker opposed.
Chair, request for information.
Yes, what's your question?
Janine for the stack.
You have Janine and myself and Fred Blair on the stack.
Okay. Yes, I understand that we said we would, when we had motions, we would go with one in favor, one opposed. I'm sorry, two in favor, two opposed, and you know, one and one, one
Chair,
and one. So,
I'm sorry, Chair. I don't mean to engage in a colloquy with you, but I think this is a very important motion, and some I have some history to give. So I would definitely like to be heard.
Okay, I understand that. I'm just saying, is there someone else who wants to speak opposed to the motion?
This is Janine, 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
I believe that this came up at the very, with not a lot of warning in the governance committee. And while I agree to opening it up to as many listener members as possible, I also want to recap the discussion that we could be setting this up where there's a situation where there's actually no LSB person on a committee with a motion to try to bring to the LSB for a vote and how difficult that might be and awkward. So, and then regarding voting rights, I just want to say that I feel the attendance is important because people are paying attention. It means that there are recent discussions, they're up to date on all that. So I believe that it needs a little more work, not much, but that we could postpone and get a few more tweaks in there for next month. Thank you.
Chair.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. This is what I call the Don White rule. May he rest in strength. Early on, when the beginning of these LSBs started, the listeners were not allowed on the committees, Bella. So going back to the past, that has never happened. In regards to participation on committees, there's about at least 10 board members that and those who advocated for the abolition of democracy in Pacifica is also, you know, is astonishing, ironic that they would even speak against this motion. So I believe that work has to be done, like Alan said, the work has to be done. And the fact that almost 10 to 11 members of this local station board are not on any committees, are not doing the work that needs to be done in order to move forward. I completely support this motion. And remember, you know, this fear of the John Birch Society coming in and taking over is really ridiculous. We have complete veto power as a local station board. So I ask you to support this motion. Thank you.
There's a question in the stack. It's not one LSB member required. The bylaws require at least two LSB members in every committee. Fred, you had your hand up. Did you want to speak?
Yes, and the bylaws also require specify a maximum of 12 LSB members on a committee, because if you have 13, then you've got basically a secret meeting of the LSB. But in any case, I think I'm supporting this motion, but I haven't seen the motion, and the devil is in the details. The reason I wanted to speak on this motion is it's a very practical issue at the Finance Committee, because the Finance Committee now has more public members than LSB members that are eligible to be on the Finance Committee. What can we do? I'm in favor of letting as many, I'm in favor of putting the condition that people have to attend three sequential meetings before they can become a member, but I'm in favor of having as many public members that want to participate. I'm not for excluding the public in any way, including letting them ask questions and vote. The solution to bad motions coming out of committees is for the LSB to vote them down. As Lauren said, a LSB veto. Thank you.
Yes, thanks. So just to be clear, the previously adopted policy says that at all committee meetings, people who are not members would have voice but not vote. The change that we're proposing here is that we would lift the restriction on the number of people who could become members. Would no longer require a majority of LSB members on LSB committees. People could become members regardless of the number of LSB members serving on the committee. So going forward, that would apply. It would have no effect on any previous meetings or previous qualifications, but if we adopt it going forward. We're not at time for governance, but we have another motion. So we heard a couple of objections. We're going to have to vote on the motion. Just to be clear, the two things in the motion are to lift the requirement that there must be one more LSB member than non-LSB members on the committee. In other words, it could be more non-LSB members if they qualify under the standard of participation, and that the standard of participation is restricted to going forward to regular meetings of the committee. And so that's what we're voting on. And Janine, can you call the roll?
So this is
Jan Goodman. Can I ask a question about this?
Yes, quickly, Jan.
Is there any maximum to the number of people on a committee under this new regime?
No, there's not.
People?
Well, practically speaking, we are using my ESRA conference for most of our calls, and that has a maximum of 25. Nobody's talking about 50 people joining committees. Practically speaking, there are people interested in being on the committees. It might be a dozen or 15. We're going to go to a vote.
Okay, so this is a vote whether a member is in favor of the amendment, correct?
Yes.
Michael Adler?
Yeah.
Thank you. Alan Beek.
Yeah, Alan expressed himself that he doesn't think there should be restrictions on public participation, so count him as a yes vote.
Now it says
I'm
unmuted.
I object.
I don't think we should put any limit on the people that get on a committee. The more people that get there, the better. They get there to work. They don't get there to print some funds.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. We have some muting that might need to happen. Fred Blair?
I'm passing for this round.
Okay. Sandy Childs?
Pass.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Thank you. Jan Goodman?
No. No.
Thank you. Eric C. Jacobson?
Pass.
Thank you. Ali Lexa?
Abstain.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach?
No.
Thank you. Mike, Rob Macon?
I'm going to pass.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas?
Yes.
Thank you. Paul Roberson?
He put I vote yes in the chat.
Okay.
Did we change something? Because in the past, we had to have a verbal vote to accept it. Did something just change? Remember in previous
meetings? I'll ask him to unmute.
I vote yes.
Thank you. I'm a yes, despite what I said, because I was mistaken, and I said so in the chat. I misunderstood that there was a minimum of two.
Please take the vote.
I'm just clarifying. Oscar is not on the call, I don't think, anymore. Paulina Vasilius?
Yes.
Thank you. Beth Van Guten?
Abstain.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman? Not sure if he's still on the call. I'll move on to Myla Rayson.
I don't think I see her anymore either. I think she said she had to leave.
I'll go back to the passes. Fred Blair?
I'm reluctantly voting yes, just because I haven't seen the exact wording of the motion.
Okay, I did forward it in the LSB email thread for this meeting, and it's also in the chat. But and so if you want, I can move on and come back.
No, I'm voting yes.
Okay, thank you. And so the next pass we have is Sandy Childs.
I vote no.
Thank you. Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you. We have Rob Macon.
Okay, what are we voting on now?
We're voting on whether to lift the requirement that the LSB committees have a majority of LSB members. In other words, people could join the committee even if they exceed.
Oh.
And also that the requirement is three consecutive regular meetings.
Okay, I'll say yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so then we have Harvey Wasserman. He's still on the call.
I don't see him anymore. I haven't heard him, so.
Okay, Myla Reeson. Might be off the call as well. We're currently at 11 yes, 3 no, and 2 abstain.
And the chair votes yes. Okay, we have very little time left, but there is a second motion regarding the LSB at kpfk.org email list, which is currently open to the public. Eric Jacobson, you want to present it?
Yes, I do, Michael. This motion is posted in the chat. It has to do with the disabling of the email address lsb@kpfk.org that currently enables non-LSB members to send one email that populates in the personal email inbox of every member of the LSB without any intervening review or moderation. I posted this text of this in the chat. This motion seeks to correct a mistake that was made earlier this year when LSB at kpfk.org, an email address LSB members only, had employed to send an email that directly populated in each of their fellow LSB members' personal email without any intervening review or moderation, began being used by anonymous non-LSB members to so email the entire LSB. Over the past few months, such anonymous non-LSB members have repeatedly targeted individual LSB members with malicious, defamatory, or otherwise abusive emails, which emails have populated in the personal email inbox of each LSB member. The use of LSB at kpfk.org by intemperate, uncivil, non-LSB members to directly place arch disparaging calumnies in the personal email inbox of each LSB member is intolerable, and LSB at kpfk.org must be immediately disabled unless and until a moderator can be employed to screen out such grossly abusive bombast slash incivility while allowing emails from non-LSB members containing legitimate content. I have queried one of our fellow LSB members about his interest in performing such a moderator role. But have not yet heard back. All of KPFK's estimable elected LSB members, some of whom also serve on the PMB, know that they must be able to withstand a reasonable degree of heat or vacate the governance kitchen. But absorbing numerous hostile to venomous, borderline, or actual, quote, hate, unquote, email communications from non-LSB members facilitated by KPFK's own good offices, which is what the LSB at kpfk.org group email capability is not the price anyone should have to pay for serving as a conscientious elected LSB delegate and or member of the Pacifica National Board of Directors. I ask for unanimous passage of this motion. Thank you.
Okay, so just to be clear, it's a motion to restrict access to the LSB at kpfk.org from the public, restoring the previous situation that only members of the LSB could send an email to that list until it could be moderated. Is there opposition?
Point of information, Fred.
Go ahead. What's your question, Fred?
I had my hand up for a while.
Okay, I see that. I was asking for whether there was opposition to the motion. But
Michael, did you ask for a second?
It's a motion from the Governance Committee. It doesn't require a second.
Apologies.
It's okay. What was your question?
It's not a question. It's a point of information. What Eric is referring to is what's called a closed listserv. That's what we had for years, and that's what most of our LSBs have.
All right. Thank you. So Alan has had a hand up for a while, and Ali, Alan, did you want to object?
I had mine up for quite a while.
Yes, I know. I said Alan and Ali had a hand up.
Go ahead.
Let's see if you can hear me.
Yes, we hear you, Alan. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I am on the LSB.
I'm sorry, Alan. I accidentally muted you. I didn't realize that was your phone number. You have to unmute your phone again, *6. Go ahead, Ali, while that's happening. Ali, you have the floor. Ali, Alexa?
Yeah.
Shit. Sorry.
You muted me again.
You're unmuted. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. As I wrote in the chat, this doesn't need a motion to the GM. I mean, I have no opposition, or I don't oppose this. All you need to do is decide how you want the email list to function and let us know.
it was a closed list. And then earlier this year, someone asked to make it an open list, and we did. All you need to do is ask us to make it a closed list again, and we can flip the switch. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really require a bunch of this time. But anyways, it's not a problem to change it back. It doesn't need a big motion and big hoopla.
Okay, thanks. Alan, if you're on your phone, you have to unmute your phone. I'm sorry. We can't hear you, Alan. We cannot hear you. You need to unmute your phone. I apologize. I muted your phone, not realizing it was your phone.
Yeah, can you please go to the next person while Alan unmute?
All right. Janine and then Lawrence.
Hi. I agree that it's just been very adversarial and actually terrible at times, the emails for that LSB. But I don't think this is ready. We don't, without knowing who's moderating, you know, we don't have a big window for listeners to be able to send us things or whatever. And until we solve that, and Alan Beek has had very good ideas about creating a back and forth, like whether it's social media or online, until we can work that out, I don't really feel we should close the door, unfortunately. Thank you.
Okay, Alan, I see your hand, but you have to unmute yourself on your phone. You have to unmute your phone, star six. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. I reluctantly support this motion. I don't want to quench, smash somebody free speech rights. But I think the emails that are coming.
The computer tells you.
Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead.
And then go ahead, Alan. Speak.
Your computer tells me I'm unmuted. Can I speak?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, okay. Alan.
It doesn't hurt anybody to receive one of these nasty phone calls, nasty emails. And I do notice that a lot of nasty emails go back and forth between members of the LSB, not coming from the outside world at all. And I think it is important to let the listeners know that we want their opinions, that we respect them. But if you think it's really becoming a problem, you need a filter to filter out the bad emails. I volunteer to do that because a couple of years ago I was doing the same thing with TalkBack, and it's no big chore to just throw away the ones that are asking you to send your bank account number so they can send all their money to you. All those things, it's easy. And then we can hear from the listeners, and the listeners can know that they are being listened to, and that is something they do not get at the public comment sections very often. In fact, one time the chair told the public they were not to expect any response from the board. They wouldn't get one. And that's the thing we want to get rid of. We want the public to know that we value them, and we want to hear from them, and we want their help in getting the programming. We want their help in reaching out to the communities that we are supposed to be serving, the underserved communities. And that's just why we need to have this communication from them to us that we accept, and we're willing to accept a few little nasties along the way. I'll volunteer to filter out the nasties if you want to.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
And I never receive any nasties from anybody that's not on the board already. Maybe I'm not on the list to get everything.
There you are. Thank you, Alan.
Alan,
Alan, Lawrence has the floor now. Your time. Alan, Lawrence has the floor now. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Alan, for volunteering. That's Janine wrote that you're a very brave man to do that. I do agree with Ali that if it's simply of switching or hitting a switch to make it the close list, then so be it. But I still would like us to develop a venue or some kind of email list where the public could communicate with the board members. So I support this motion. Because I know I have engaged in some disagreements with some folks, with some board members, And I have not, I've abstained. I have 2 months since I engaged in any colloquy with any other board members. So
okay, thank
I'm
you.
Proud of myself. Thank you.
Good. All right, I'm going to call myself to speak against the motion. I was the person who moved several times that we make the list public and was turned down. We did create something called LS Board at kpfk.org, which I monitored and have forwarded the email from that to the LSB list from time to time. But I don't think that's satisfactory enough. I think everybody should look at it. The change was made not at a request, because my attempt to get the board to request the change was defeated. The management made the change on its own, Lee, to open it up. However, I think it's a good thing that it's open, and as being one of the people who has apparently motivated a message to me claiming that I might be losing my mental faculties seemed to generate Eric's motion. Personally, I don't mind. I respond to everything I get, and I respond in generally speaking non-combative terms to it. I think that we should leave the list open. I think it's an unfortunate problem that some people are hostile in their expression, but that's true within the board itself. There's a lot. I'm sorry, Michael Adler, you need to mute.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute him. Oh, there we go. What Alan said, I agree. Most of the trolling and hostility on the LSB list has come from members of the LSB directed at each other. So if we set a better example, the fact of the matter is that the public does not see the message that go to the LSB list. They only send them to it. They don't read what's on there. So they can't judge. But I would be opposed to this motion. Eric has a hand up again, and that'll be the final comment. We're going to vote on it.
Thank you, Michael. I deliberately phrased the request the way I did, the motion. Oh.
I'm sorry, I did want to this is just factually. I asked to moderate the list much earlier in the year in relation just to the LSB comments, and was told that it was impossible to make it a moderated list. So that's why that's not an option at this point with the list that we have. That's what I was told by a couple of times by the station. So it's on or off. It can be only LSB members or open to the public, but it can't be moderated in the way it's set up at the moment. Go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. I gave consideration to asking for the disablement entirely because of the demoralizing exchanges that were being done between LSB members. However, that is part of the territory. We're all elected by the listeners and or the staff to be on the LSB, and that's where the necessity of withstanding the heat in the kitchen of being in on the board and having disagreements with fellow board members. It's unfortunate when it gets at the level of vitriol that it has been between board members, but that's part of the territory. The outside world ability to drop these type of very intemperate emails into our personal email inboxes is another matter. And I respectfully, Michael, you're a gallant person and have a high tolerance, but nevertheless, I noticed that you must have expended a de minimis amount of time to respond to that horrific email, completely groundless and abusive of you. And yes, it did. It was sort of the last straw. There had been previous instances that I had come to my attention by one of our fellow LSB members who was in considerable distress about the receipt of such emails. I held my tongue at that time in the summer, but when I saw what was done to you by a non-LSB member, I did decide to act rather spontaneously. I think it's important that we, given we're all volunteers, we have limitations on our time and other things to do in life, we not have to withstand this kind of email. As far as the moderation, it sounds like it's not easily doable immediately. So I stand by my request for the immediate disablement, the flipping of the switch, and then working on a system that Mr. Beek can receive, be the intermediary.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Beth, you had your hand up. Please try to make it quickly. We're way past time on all of this.
Yes. Thank you. I do want a list that's dedicated to LSB member business so that I can cut to the chase and know that I will see what I need to see in terms of our responsibilities without it being flooded out or blocked out by all this other stuff. So I will support this. I would also support an open KPFK discussion list that's open to the public where I can check in if I want. I don't have to worry about things that are my actual responsibilities getting lost in that shuffle. But where if it gets abusive enough, I can check out without worrying that I'm missing necessary things. So I will support this motion for the creation of a closed business list. And then if we want to talk about setting up an open discussion list too, I'd be up for that. I don't think they have to compete or conflict, but I do want a dedicated business list.
All right, thank you. So there is the LS board at kpsk.org, which is a webmail that people can send communications to. All right, so where do we stand? Do we need to vote on this? Is there are there objections to making this request to management to change it to a closed list?
Mr. Chair?
Jan Goodman. Yes. I just want to abstain. I do think it's important for people to be able to communicate.
Okay. All right.
With LSB,
thank you.
But
yeah,
I
right.
but I also,
thanks.
You know, see things on the other side. So I want my abstention recorded, please.
All right, Bella?
I will be voting no.
All right. So
we're not
re-arguing it. I just asked for statements. So we're going to just call the roll. Go ahead, Janine, okay. Please.
So this is a yes or no in favor of closing the list. And I
yes.
Okay, great. Michael Adler?
Yes, to close the list.
Alan Beek? Thank you. Alan Beek?
You muted yourself, Alan. Yeah, move on. We'll come back to him.
Okay. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you. Sandy Child?
Abstain.
Thank you. Jan Goodman? Oh, sorry. Bella DeSoto?
Abstain.
Thank you. Jen Goodman.
Abstain.
Thank you. Eric C. Jacobson.
Yes. Yes. Close the list.
Thank you. Sorry. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach.
Abstain.
Thank you. Rob Macon.
Proceed. Come back to him.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
I'll abstain.
Thank you. Paul Roberson.
Abstain.
Thank you. Janine Roan is a no. Oscar Ayoa, I don't believe he's on the call anymore. Paulina Vasilio.
No.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman. Myla Reeson.
Milo, we're voting on whether to restrict the LSB list to only members of the LSB until it can be moderated.
So, I'm going to pass.
Okay. So I'm going back to Alan Beek.
Do I get to vote? This is Beth.
Oh, sorry, Beth.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. So I'm going back to Alan Beek. I'm going to move on to Rob Macon.
Alan's phone is unmuted. You should be able to speak, Alan. How do you vote? Just say yes or no, Alan. We can hear you. Oh, he muted himself again. Never mind.
Okay, Rob Macon. I'm not sure he's on the call.
Madam Secretary, this is Bella.
Yeah.
I'm changing my vote to no.
Okay.
Alan, speak. We can hear you. You're unmuted. Do you vote yes or no on the motion to restrict the LSB?
Can you
is
hear
that
me?
A no?
Okay, thank you.
No.
So both are no's.
Right.
I'm still waiting for Rob Macon.
And Myla passed.
This is Jonathan, a point of order.
I'm sorry, you're not eligible to make a point of order, Jonathan.
Okay, I would like to make a comment because, you know, this is what you're voting on here is you're restricting the ability of listener members.
I'm sorry, Alan. John, you're out of order, and if I could find you, I'd mute you. So please stop talking.
It's Raymond Goldstone, but I muted it.
Okay.
Mala Reason has not voted.
Yeah, Mala passed.
Beth, with a point of order.
What's your point of order?
Will you be coming back to me?
We're trying to, but Beth has a point of order. What's your point of order, Beth?
I think we missed Avalia Jones.
Avalia Jones is not here. She got a excused absence because she's in Jackson.
Okay.
We're going to Myla Reason, who passed.
Okay, I'm going to vote no.
Okay, so without Rob Macon or Harvey, or we are at a tie. Five yes, five no, six abstain, and the chair, it goes to the chair.
Chair votes no. Thank you.
This is Eric. I asked for a tally, please. The yes and no votes. Be ready.
So there's now with the chair, it's five yes, six no, and six abstain.
I think he wants to read out who's he wants to.
Oh, okay, great. Yes, no problem. Michael Adler, yes. Beek, no. Blair, yes. Childs, abstain. DeSoto, no. Goodman, abstain. Jacobson, yes. Lexa, abstain. Marbach, abstain. Novick, no. Reyes, yes. Revis, abstain. Roberson, abstain. Roan, no. Vasiliev, no. Guten, von Guten, yes. And Reason, no.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, we have the Program Oversight Committee. Is there a report, Beth?
Yeah, hang on, I have to turn to that. Yes, we met on September 20 for our regular monthly meeting. We are 14 of us. We had a listeners roundtable with it turned out Stuart Landau became the featured speaker. He was the first time he'd attended the meeting, and That's who everyone had questions for. So we had a rousing good discussion. We meet again tomorrow at 4 p.m. Access information is posted at KPFTX. Thank you.
Thank you. Outreach Committee, Bella?
I also wanted to just let everybody know regarding the programming oversight. I sent to Beth, as chair of the Program Oversight Committee, a motion from the PMB Programming Committee regarding ensuring that each GM at each station promotes the necessary governance information over the airwaves, et cetera. So that was not mentioned, and I want that to be heads up for everybody. Yes, we are planning the next town hall and the last town hall of the year in November. However, I have been trying to work out a schedule with the GM, and that should be worked out fairly soon. And so I will be notifying the LSB as soon as that is decided. Thank you. To be promoted on air as well.
Thank you. That reminds me, I neglected to report earlier that the GM has scheduled an LSB report to the listeners for November 15th. The motion from the PMB, I didn't realize, but it's very clear. It says at least every other month. And so we've had two, I think August and September, and they're in the fund drive right now, and he wants some time to promote it. So he set a date of November 15th for the next LSB report to listen, and I assume he'll be doing one as the GM, which is supposed to be monthly. Fundraising committee?
Hi, so this is Janine. This was our second official meeting. We've had two meetings and then one unofficial meeting, which was last Friday because I didn't post it in time due to my involvement with the elections committee. So we now have a meeting scheduled for the 23rd and also on the 25th. And the reason there's two so closely together is we're hoping to be able to plan an event before the end of the year. So there is a working group. If anyone's interested, they can email me at jronekpfk@gmail.com. The working group is coming up with our phone banking script. It is also coming up with a calendar of events that we can schedule an event around. And also a proposal, Oscar Uyola's Pacifica in the Streets. We'd like to do a nice proposal to submit to the GM so that we can get that underway, which it is to cover local news with volunteer reporting. Thank you.
Thanks. So in relation to fundraising, I did say earlier I would like to solicit from members of the local station board a matching fund to use in this current fund drive, and I'll be in touch with people off the call and off the meeting, but I would like to see if we can come up with a $1,000 matching fund for this current fund drive from the LSB. Also, again, as communication with the general manager, he gave me information on a possible grant application. I'm working on that with Paulina and some of the Spanish language programmers. I've been in conversation with Marlena Bond and a number of other people, Matt Cedillo, proposing a seasonal four series of multicultural, multilingual poetry readings at the station in the parking lot that we could get some funding for. It would be, roughly speaking, Valentine's Day, May Day, Bastille Day, and Indigenous Peoples Day, and we would have events in the station parking lot that can then also be aired on the station. There's a small grant for it of about $5,000, and I'm working on that. I see Beth has a hand up. Was that going back to one of the committee reports, Beth?
I just don't have any way to take it down.
Oh, okay, fine. And then Lawrence also? No, Lawrence. Okay, so at that point,
yeah, I have my hand up.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence. And
yeah, I just
want to
say that I will make my quarterly donation to that matching fund.
Okay, thank you.
I donate quarterly to the station, so I'll make it to the matching fund.
Great. Okay, so we're going to public comment number three. I have John Markowitz, I guess, has his hand up. Go ahead, John, and then we'll see if there's other members of the public wish to speak.
Please put, this is Kim, please put me on the
stage
for public
okay.
comment. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Dibbs. I'd like to make public comment.
Okay, so John, Kim, and then Nicholas. Go ahead, John. You have to unmute yourself if you still wish to speak.
Okay, thank you.
No, maybe not. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to remind everybody here that the elected LSB structure was established so that listeners would have input upon the decision-making of those in this network. And so to close off the ability to for listeners to be able to reach the board members is completely inappropriate. I don't see any problem if somebody is emailing local station board members and those emails are inappropriate. It's easy enough for LSB members simply just to delete or disregard those emails in their inbox. You know, other than having the individual board members' email addresses available to the listeners to be able to reach those board members, I see it as highly inappropriate for anybody to seek to obfuscate access to the board members by the listeners using the LSB email address. So I'm glad that this motion did not pass. I think it's extremely inappropriate. And I'm really would admonish all of the board members who abstained from voting or voted yes. It's outrageous. But the other thing I wanted to just bring up is that nobody on the board seems to have answered the question, how much are the Neta accountants being paid for their services in lieu of each station having a staff member hired to handle these financial responsibilities in terms of accounting in a timely manner. As far as I can see, it's still going to take somebody at the station to provide this information to the Neta accountants. I think this is an absurd idea of contracting out what should be in-house responsibility for fiduciary responsibilities, for the fiduciary responsibilities of each station and each board to oversee,
okay, thank you, John. That,
to oversee these duties should be in-house, not out-house, not by
okay,
Canada.
Thank you. Thank you, John. We had, forget his name.
Nicholas Dibbs.
Nicholas, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is
go ahead,
okay,
Nicholas.
Good afternoon. My name is Nicholas Dibbs. I'm chimed in at the beginning of the treasurer's report and missed the beginning, so I apologize. Was there a decision made on moving the my suggestion as a longtime listener and sustainer member donor is, can we have the LSB meetings other than on a Sunday? I go to church on Sundays and it's a difficult day. So I don't know what the decision was on that. It was earlier in the agenda.
If I could answer briefly, we were kind of stalled. We tabled it. I'll be discussing with the general manager and see if we can come up with a date. But we're talking about moving it to a weekday for the next couple
okay,
of meetings.
Well, week
yeah, weekday
night.
Evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to share with you my I'd be in favor of that, and I'm sure there's other listeners that can't attend on a Sunday, but maybe they could attend a weeknight. Maybe you have to rotate the weeknights around as to which weeknight it is so that over time people can participate. Maybe not the same weeknight every single month, but rotate it around. Okay, thank you for answering that. With regard, I'm glad that the recent motion just passed. I want to echo what the other commenter said, which is there should be a way, an easy way to for listeners to email the LSB board in an email, and then if somebody is being obnoxious, you just restrict that person's email from being, or you give them a warning, and if they continue, then you restrict them from being able to email to that address. So
thank you. Thank you for your comment. That's the time. Thank you.
Yes, 90 seconds, Nicholas, so you reached your time. Sorry. We had Kim, and then I have the call-in user, and Ruth Strauss and Andrew Weiss.
Hi, this is Kim again. I find all this pearl-clutching over KPFK's finances. If it wasn't so pathetic, it would be funny, because I've been talking about this for over 10 years. As for depleting the soil, I have been talking about KPFK masking its declining revenue by extending fund drive days, which it has been doing for 20 years. And somehow nobody has ever listened to me. I mean, they make a budget 2 days before the end of the fiscal year with no fund drive charge. And they're going to do the same thing for the next one. And the last four so-called budgets had no fund drive chart. Okay. And as for the surprising, exorbitant phone call costs of KPFK, I mentioned that when I was chair. When we were going over the budget, I mentioned it. I knew about it. You know, what I'm saying is people don't even look at the documents they have. I looked at them. I saw that. And it was only when I made public comment here a couple of times, a couple of months ago, that somebody finally heard me. This has been going on for a long time of people not wanting to read the documents they have and understand this and pay attention to it. And I just want to say about this motion about your LSB. KPFA has a closed listserv and an open listserv for the public. I mean, you're all just snowflakes. You
Sam,
get a couple of people. Okay, Rocio. You have a couple of people who make emails you don't like and you want to shut it down.
Okay, all right, you're at time. Thank you, Kim.
Michael, one more thing. Jara has a comment up when it gets
yes,
to
Jara
it.
Yes, Jara has a comment in the chat. I know. Go ahead. Call in user. On the phone, with the hand
I am
up.
One. I
go
am
ahead.
One such. Okay.
Yes, that's it.
So,
go ahead.
Thank you. You know, there's this sense of competition in Pacifica where each GM, and I've heard everybody do it except for the new guys, literally so far, are always bragging that I do this better than anybody else. I'm the best at this. You know, it's a bunch of crap, right? We're a network. You're supposed to be sharing information. If you come up with something good, share it. Don't use it as a cudgel and then use it to boost yourself up. You're really not that important. You're a part of the process, and you should want the process to succeed. So we're supposed to have a technology task force that's supposed to meet and talk about the technologies that we use at our stations. There's no reason why one station should have bills significantly higher than other stations if they're doing this. They're all doing broadcasting. You're all doing internal phone calls, et cetera. Work together. Why is that not happening? With regard to Netta, you know, I hope Mikhail gets the person at Netta who actually does the work as opposed to the ICFO. She's a very nice woman who gets on finance committee calls, and it's always, I don't know, I have to check with staff. Oh, yes, that's a good question. It's the same damn thing every meeting. It has gotten slightly better over the past couple of years, but they've had a contract with us since 2018. Someone needs to take a look at what we're paying for and what we're really getting. There was a report on the finance committee moving forward to budget approval, et cetera, et cetera. KPFA sent its budget out. They send the budget out after they sent it to the LSB members who are required to vote on it a day or two before they had to vote on it. That's not how you get a budget, quote, approved. WBAI sent up a budget.
Okay, thanks.
I'll get back to that if possible. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of other people. I'm sorry. Ruth Strauss, Andrew Weiss, and then there's a comment in the chat from Hara Handala. Go ahead, Ruth. You have to unmute yourself.
Okay, thank you. This is Cornucopia here. So about the quote-unquote nasty emails, unless it's hate speech, racist speech, or using profanity, I'm, you know, think that they should all be read and considered. They may be, aggressively worded complaints or, you know, suggestions or whatever, but there may be information that's important hidden in there. So that's number one. Number two, on the Pocho Hour of Power, this is a finance thing. I heard Tony Bates helping out the host there. I want someone to look into and make sure that Tony Bates is no longer a paid person, and certainly not to be there as a buddy to help fundraise. There's no reason why he can't be there as a friend, or the host can't fundraise on his own. I agree. And next thing, I agree with monitoring whether Netta is a plus or a minus. And if they're a minus, then the national board should be written and told why we want to look into other things, which Miguel could do. And I think that's it. Oh, there's one other thing that I actually voted for the inclusion in terms of the governance and people on committees. However, I do see, what Jan is saying. Well, at least in my iteration, not exactly what she said. But what do you do if there's only, two LSB people and only one non-LSB person? Then you really don't have much of a opinion for voting. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew Weiss, and then I'll read Hara's comment.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Regarding grants, the issue was brought up. I think we have to be really careful with that. It's continually said on the air how we're so special, and I agree that we don't take outside funding. It's totally listener funded. And but we do need funds desperately, so we should consider everything. But if we do consider grants, I think we should be very, very careful. I would suggest, recommend, or propose a committee be set up that evaluates all grants, that listeners can be part of that committee, and that it be made public what is being considered, so we have accountability. And that we're just very, very careful about that. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. In the chat, we have this comment from Hara Handala. Just for the record, Director Lawrence Reyes chose not to answer four of the five questions I put to him. The questions again: A, did you sign all four proposed bylaws amendments? C, when you submitted them, were you aware that each required a referendum? That's referring to two of them. D, are you aware that this is a Pandora's box and now released, even if rejected by the PNB and the five LSBs, there has to be a membership referendum for each? E, why did you choose in your own director's report to be opaque and not to name the signers, although you subsequently did? Given Lawrence and others decrying the $50,000 or so expensive referendum, and especially given the current financial crisis at Pacific Land Earth, have they released two proposed bylaws amendments that each require a referendum of the whole membership? How is this possible?
Should I address those questions?
Yeah, it says any TA or paid, correction, they invoice $27.5K per calendar month per any TA produced monthly net income statements. You want to answer that?
Thank you, Hava, for keeping me on task. The reason why I didn't answer those questions is because I did not remember all of them. As challenged as I am. But yes, I did sign on to the referendums, all four proposed bylaw amendments, strike the referendum part. No, I'll be candid with you. No, I was not aware that it requires. I think I was aware that one of them required a membership vote, but not all of them. So I think you pointed out that it was one that required a membership vote. I will look at that more closely. What else?
I had a response. I believe that Hira is incorrect. If they're defeated, there was no reason for a membership vote.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the premise that I. Thank you, Michael. That's the premise that I took it under because it. I consulted with the chair of the PNB and we had a discussion and he was aware that first it goes to the other speeds of PNB and then it gets put to the membership. Thank you, Hara. And I'm doing the best I can to answer your questions. Thank you so much. I'm having computer problems, so I cannot read the chat. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
I have two hands have been up for members of the body. We're really at the time for new business and adjournment, but I have Janine and Bella. Did you want to respond to the public comment?
Yes. I take issue with Kim Kaufman regarding NETA. NETA has not been providing the financial, the only document, the P&L, to the foundation timely since January. That's number one. Number two, I take I am concerned that she keeps saying that everybody at the finance committee is not checking and looking at the numbers on the documents that we do get, which is completely wrong because I am a bookkeeper and I am one person in the finance committee that does look. And this issue about the phone expenditures, I have been bringing that up for a very long time, being extremely.
Okay, thank you.
So let's get it all done and get the right reports in. And by the way, it has cost the foundation over $47,000 since January 2009, since NETA was hired.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Now
I'm sorry, Bella.
Excuse me, I will finish. Now we are paying for the travel. We are supposed to be paying for the reason.
You did not pay for the travel. You raised the question. You were told that the payment for the travel was covered by NETA's frequent flyer miles.
Not entirely. Okay.
Janine, you had your hands up and you made a comment in the chat. Did you want to say something?
Mr. Chair, hold on, please. There's a PNB motion. People need to look at pacifica.org regarding what is being proposed right now. We have a very short window for bylaws amendments, and that has not been mentioned here. This is
it was
very
mentioned twice, and I asked Lawrence to address the question because I thought he had a motion to change the schedule.
Not. Right.
Chair, I could briefly answer that question. Motion was passed unanimously without objection on the PNB to reset the timeline because there was a previous timeline. So now there's a new bylaws timeline. And I don't know, maybe Paulina could answer if that timeline that's on KPFT on the
Pacifica.org. It's not KPFTX, it's Pacifica.org.
Okay, all right. I was getting ready to say that. Pacifica.org. Paulina, can you answer that?
This is Paulina. I am not responsible for posting to Pacifica.org. That is Otis McClay. And how it was posted, by the way, the fact that the director's names weren't mentioned, that didn't come from me. So I would check with Chair Steinberg on that, on what wording was communicated to Otis McClay to post, or maybe Steinberg has his own access. I don't know, but I don't have access to post to Pacifica.org. Thank you.
I can read it. I have it in front of me, I may read it.
No, it was already read, Bella.
Was it read? I don't recall.
Yes,
okay.
It was.
It's Tuesday, November
9th. I'm sorry, Bella, you're not recognized. Janine has the floor if she wants to speak about what you put in the chat regarding the fundraising committee and grants. Otherwise, we're at new business.
Thank you, Michael. Well, first of all, at the last meeting, I was very passionate about the development task force that's taking place at the national level, which I believe is entertaining grants and getting CPB funding again. And what I was calling upon, and I want to apologize to Beth Von Gutten because actually, as I went through the minutes, in the past year, there was definitely a set time to discuss the development task force, and I hadn't remembered that. So, but I, when I reconvened the fundraising committee last month, I made a very clear statement how I, my hopes are that the fundraising committee at KPFK can be a house for any fundraising that's being done. And so any, anything that is being worked on to finance KPFK should, we should be made aware. And there was a meeting, a few weeks ago on the 27th. They just posted the audio, or they just forwarded the audio, and I'm hoping to get it posted so that we can understand what's going on at that meeting. Thank you.
Okay, so just to say that the general purpose of the fundraising committee was what role the LSB itself can play in fundraising. It's not necessarily going to be a clearinghouse for all the fundraising that takes place at the station. It's not realistic. The management has the primary responsibility. And,
I disagree, Chair.
Okay, then it's a much larger discussion. We'll take it up at the committee and elsewhere. But
I posted my statement in the chat.
Yeah.
From last month. Thank you.
Okay, so on the agenda we have a new business. Anybody have any new business they want to bring up? But basically, it's going to get referred to committee.
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is Bella.
Go ahead, Bella.
Okay. On September 12th, on September 12th, I sent out an email blast to the membership of KPFK, and the questions were, have you heard any candidate forums on KPFK? Have you heard their 60-second statements? You have not. Then I gave background. I also addressed them to go to the Pacifica Foundation, Inc., bylaws clause addressing this critical area, to Pacifica.org, to learn about the mission, etc. Also, Article 4, Delegate Section 6, Fair Campaign Provisions. I received quite a number of responses from people, and I also submitted the three audio recordings of the most recent October 7, 2021 PNB meeting regarding the last motion that was submitted to them from the elections committee, the PNB elections committee, which was, again, not honored. So I submitted...
sorry, Bella, is there some motion that you want to present that we can refer to a committee?
Yes, and the motion is that I would like the general manager, I urge the KPFK LSB to ask the general manager to respond to each of the individuals that have taken the time to respond because they have been left out in the dark, not knowing what was going on regarding the current election process of Pacifica at their station.
Okay, so I'm suggesting we refer that to the governance committee, and we'll take it up next month, unless you think there's some better committee to deal with that.
Okay.
All right.
Michael, this
yes?
is Sandy. My phone is dying. I have to hang
okay.
up. Thank you.
Yeah, no, we're at adjournment. Thank you.
Oh, okay, bye.
All right, thanks, everybody. I think we did complete our business. Ruth Strauss, you have your hand up. I'm not sure. Do you want to make an additional public comment, or otherwise we're going to adjourn? Okay, we did complete our business.
No, thank you, Michael. Sorry,
okay.
I didn't take it down.
Sure, no problem. Janina saving the chat, Eric Jackson. Thanks, Andrew Weiss, for his moral support, and thank everybody. I think we had a fairly full meeting.